Welcome back to MSONewsSports.com. Joining us now is Tim Morris, head football coach at Melrose High School. Tim, welcome to Lynn.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here.
Well, you got the playoffs. You have a great night for it here. And congratulations to you and the team for the 10-0 season. And was there a defining game for you guys in that 10 games so far this year?
I don't know if there was a defining game, but I'd say one of our toughest games was the last league game against Woburn High School, where we really had to come back and win, and we won in a field goal in the last second of the game, and it was just a hard fought game. It was a 26-23 game, so that was a physical, really physical game, and yeah, I think the kids felt that they could really do something after that game.
Yeah, and then after that, last week you came back from, what, a 10-point deficit at the half? Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah. It was 20 to 10 at the half. And, the kids battled back, and they've been doing that all year. I think we're firing on all cylinders right now, so I hope we can keep that going against Danvers.
All right. Tell me about Mike Pedrini. He's got 20 touchdowns this year, but he runs and catches.
I think he's got 18 running and two receptions for touchdowns. So he's a great kid, first of all, and a great athlete. Feet, athleticism, quickness, decent speed as well. And he's good hands. So we just try to get him the ball wherever we can and in any way we can, with a run and throwing. He's a big part of what we do offensively. And he's a defensive player as well.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about Julian Nyland, your quarterback.
Julian is a kid that's had his first year as a starter is this year, his senior year. And he, he was a JV quarterback last year. He kind of waited his turn, but was developing all along. He's an athlete. He's captain of the basketball team, captain of the tennis team. He's an athlete, I think, who's really grown into the position and grown into kind of the leadership role that just comes with being the quarterback as well.
Coach, I'll try to get it down to two last questions here, and the next to last one is maybe if you were scouting your team, who are a couple players that you'd really say these are our standout guys on either side of the football?
Yeah, well,
and I'm sure you've already touched on two of them, but
yeah, well, I was just going to say those two guys are pretty special, we have some good receivers. Everybody's about the same statistically. Up front, we're not very big, but I think we have some very good offensive and defensive linemen, that I think you have to be, aware of if you're going to play us. And, I think our inside linebacker, Jared Bortello I think he's a pretty good linebacker, and he also is our center on offense. So he's a guy I'd look to as a guy you got to kind of know where he is.
Great. And finally, Danvers. What are you expecting tonight in this Danvers matchup?
Well, I mean, they're very good. They're big up front. They've been moving the ball very well on the ground. They haven't let up many points. So they're a good defensive team. I think they go to the ball well. Their secondary is good, and they, like I say, they close on balls and they tackle well. So we're gonna have to play our best game to beat them.
Right. Well, Coach, thank you for time. Good luck tonight.
All right, thank you,
Coach Tim Morris from Melrose High School, with us on MSONewsSports.com.
The Lynn Auditorium has some great shows coming to the North Shore soon. Treat yourself to an evening out in a comfortable premier entertainment venue. Upcoming shows include Melissa Etheridge, Friday, January 15th. The following night, Saturday the 16th, Get the Lead Out, the Led Zeppelin tribute band. Then Chicago arrives Friday, February 5th. Johnny Mathis on his 60th anniversary concert tour comes Friday, April 8th. For more shows, more information, visit LynnAuditorium.com or call 781-599-SHOW or contact Ticketmaster.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Since 1897, the Lynn Museum has celebrated the history of one of America's most consequential cities. Recently merged with Lynn Arts, we are working to build a dynamic cultural hub where our past comes to life and new art is created. Now on display, Present Tense, a Lynn Arts exhibit, open through December 19th, showcasing the contemporary work of our Lynn Arts community. The Lynn Museum is located at 590 Washington Street and open Wednesday and Friday 12 to 4, Thursday 12 to 7, Saturday 10 to 3. Find us online at lynnmuseum.org.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
Welcome back to MSONewsSports.com. Joining us now is Tim Morris, head football coach at Melrose High School. Tim, welcome to Lynn.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here.
Well, you got the playoffs. You have a great night for it here. And congratulations to you and the team for the... Joining us right now, Sean Terrio, head football coach at Danvers High School. And Sean, getting ready for Melrose Friday night at Manning Field in Lynn. And before we even talk about that game, let's go back last week to the Marblehead game and the Marblehead win.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing game. We had some injuries throughout the game, and we had to kind of overcome that adversity as we've overcome adversity all year. And kids are just very resilient, perseverance, and they did a great job.
You have done in the last 2 weeks things that I never thought you guys could do. Now, I haven't seen you a lot. I get that piece. But going into Tewksbury, winning there, allowing them just 13 points, winning 14-13, and then with all your injuries last week against Marblehead, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, football is a game of, you know, there's a ton of preparation involved, but there's also a lot of figuring it out on the fly during the game and, you know, making adjustments and, you know, doing things during the game that you need to do to find a way to win.
I'm looking now as we're talking about the interview. I'm thinking maybe this secret white sheet down here has got it all. If I could just make some copies, I could be rich. Eh?
Yeah, I don't know. Definitely probably only makes sense to me.
Well, he's got the play sheet there. Well, let's just talk for a minute before we move forward about the team. But just last week, when these injuries happened, kind of take our listeners through that piece. You've had a few injuries, and what were the things that you did, and then what were some of those adjustments?
Yeah, well, I mean, offensively, you know, Matt going down at quarterback was a huge loss, but, you know, Dean Borders did a great job stepping in when need be. I mean, he played a lot at the beginning of the year, so he was game ready. And then Danny Lynch just did an exceptional job of coming in our Wildcat look and just sort of really running the ball hard and taking care of business there. And then defensively, we had to move guys around. Taj Coakley came in at corner. Mike Nessa had to go to safety. Dean Borders had to go to safety at times. And those guys just did an exceptional job of picking up the schemes quickly.
When I talked to Mike Nestor, I asked him about the defense, but let me ask you about it. What is the key to this defense?
Well, if you can hear the background, we have probably the best defensive coordinator in the business, and he just does an amazing job of preparing the kids. You know, we have just tough, gritty, hard-nosed kids that, you know, do what they're told, but behind the curtain is Ryan Nolan over there, and he just does an exceptional job.
That's a good description, I think, because it feels like that's got to be the case again with the wins that you've had the last couple of weeks. Well, let's talk about Danvers for a second here. Just a couple of final questions on your team, and then maybe one on Melrose. But You know, tell me some player notes that some players that have stepped up, obviously, in the last few weeks for you.
I mean, Quinn Holland has been an absolute monster on defense for us. I mean, he's played D end, outside linebacker, inside linebacker earlier in the year to play safety, and he just finds a way to make plays, you know, and he just does an exceptional job. And then kids like Marco Lagambina and Zach Schutz, who play both ways all game long and special teams and just dominate the lines, and, you know, they've really done an exceptional job, as well as Jeremy Keon and Sam Vitale playing linebacker, just, you know, whether it be blitzing or running to the ball or making checks. They really have stepped up big time.
But if you were to look at your personnel opposed to some of the other teams you played, are you necessarily faster, quicker, stronger, you know?
I think our strength is definitely a key. I mean, we spent a lot of time in the summer in the weight room and is during the year in the weight room. I think that's definitely made a difference. We might not be the fastest team that we've seen all year, but these kids just play fast.
And finally, Melrose. What do you know about Melrose, and what are you expecting Friday night?
Well, you know, I am from Wakefield, so I grew up with a strong hatred of Melrose. So, you know, I mean, they're a very well-coached team. They're tough, hard-nosed kids, you know, and they're going to be able to make plays. They got some real good players. But, you know, that's a rivalry that goes deep, deep, deep in my career. So it's nice to kind of see them again.
Oh, yes, I noticed the little layer here. Yeah. I get that piece. Yeah, okay. Are they a throwing team, running team, you know?
Yeah, they do both. They do both well, you know, so that's the challenge, is that they can run the ball with Pedrini. They can throw the ball, you know, very well. They have a very good quarterback, and, you know, they're very sound in their defense and on their offensive line.
All right, Sean, good talking with you, and good luck Friday night.
Thank you.
Sean Terrio, head football coach at Danvers High School, here on MSONewsSports.com.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Okay, we're back live. You heard from both coaches, Tim Morris of Melrose and Sean Terrio of Danvers, and each coach describing the other team and his own team. And looks to be an interesting night for Coach Sean Terrio, as he mentioned, growing up in Wakefield and knowing Melrose very well as a rivalry. Just a quick mention of the other games in MIAA football playoff action in the Division I Super Bowl. Next week, it will be Xaverian versus, no, not next week, week after, on December 5th. It'll be Xaverian versus Central Catholic. And then Division II, Reading is playing Marshfield at 2:30 in College Stadium in Lowell. Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
All right, that's tomorrow. Division III is here. Division IV, Stoneham versus Holliston, 1:30 tomorrow in Brockton. And Division V has St. Mary's against East Bridgewater at noon tomorrow in Lowell. Division 6, it's Essex Tech versus Mashpee at 11 a.m. Still going on, boys soccer, Eastern Mass Division 2 final, Masco versus Oliver Ames tomorrow, right here at 11 a.m., Manning Field, and in Division 4. St. Mary's continues its role versus Monson. Monson? Where's Monson?
It's out on the western part of the state near Springfield.
Did we go by that, past that tonight?
I think you did.
Yeah. I must have driven right by it.
You did.
Okay.
We only have two towns in Massachusetts.
That's at Millis High School at 3 p.m. Tomorrow. And in volleyball, Linfield plays Frontier High School at noontime on Saturday at Fitchburg.
Rick, okay. a note on Mashpee.
Yep.
Mashpee is this tiny little school down the Cape. They have four players on their team out of 11 that have already got Division I football scholarships.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. In Mashpee, four Division I players.
Yeah.
Now, what has happened to the Division I player around here, Paul? We've always had one or two, never a lot of them. But, we're also on the ride in from New York, we were talking about Andover and the athletes that E.J. Perry has had up there. So what's the story? Where do these kids mostly go?
We did have, back in the 70s and 80s, I remember here at Lynn Classical team,
mm-hmm.
There was probably seven Division I players.
Tony Thurman's, Duke Primus, that gang, yep.
So, I don't know. I don't know, Rick. You know, I really It's just I don't know if other sports are have come into play, that more kids are, you know, opting to play other sports. And but you know, I know that Adazio at BC really wanted to get New England kids and especially Massachusetts kids, but you know, ultimately, you're going to try and get the best players you can get, no matter where they're from.
It ain't Texas. All right.
Now, one of the things I see happening is that some of the kids that have gone away to D1 schools haven't found a whole lot of playing time. And kids are recognizing that, yeah, it's nice to go to that big school, but I'd like to play. And so a lot more, I think, are probably going D2 or D3 and excelling. I mean, look at the kids from around here of the last few years that have gone down to Framingham State, gone to Curry, and they're on the playing field, and they're achieving. And it's a lot more fun being on the field as to being a tackling dummy during the week and never seeing the field, or maybe not even making the traveling team with some of these schools.
The last guys I remember are Jim Yunus, who started at BC as a freshman, and Blackman. What's his first name? Dan? Blackman, he's still playing.
No, he's in the NFL.
Yeah, he's still playing.
Yeah.
And that was 10-15 years ago.
I was just telling my wife that story, that when Jimmy was made All-American, he's going to play in the Army All-American game, that
Don Blackman, I don't know.
Gloucester invited the Blackman family up to share in the big...
They were in the field house.
And what a great thing that was. And he was from Rhode Island, and they invited his family to come up. And did you have any role in that, or...
I met him, you know, because he and Jimmy were good friends too, so he would come to Gloucester quite a bit. But you know, I think he was so disappointed as the Yunus family that when Jimmy got hurt and he couldn't play anymore.
Yeah,
but Jimmy certainly adjusted and put his energy somewhere else.
Well, we got Melrose and Danvers. Let's get back on track here tonight, boys. The teams have left the field. They'll be out here in a few minutes. Bill Newell is getting ready to take over the chair here and get this game going. Perfect field conditions. I think we're going to have a lot of crowd. Great turnout. Schools are traveling well. I know the Lynn schools here have good turnouts. I think it's important that we mention the fact that, you know, so many people, there's a tremendous crowd over in the far stands already for Melrose, and I think we're going to have a packed stand. And, Paul, how important is it for the kids to know that they've got a backing from their community?
Well, you know, it's funny, Rick. I used to tell them to try and be oblivious to their surroundings and just focus on the game. But I would also say take a moment and look around, because, you know, not too many people get here. And to enjoy the moment if you can. I know I did that at Gillette Stadium, and I even did it myself. But, you know, after you get going in the game, you just become focused on what you're doing. And it's, you know, I mean, if things happen near the end and the crowd really gets into it, yeah, you can't help but notice that.
But the effect is afterwards, isn't it? After the game, to know that people were there, the kids can, you know, days, weeks, months, whatever it is, they say, oh, yeah, you were at the game. Or they'll come up to a kid, a parent or a grandparent or just a fan will say, I saw you that night. That's when it kicks in.
Yeah, you know, it does. But, you know, I really think, and I told the kids, you know, as a coach and as a player, you have to focus on what you're doing here. And that's so important. And, you know, I always felt like you never got into the game until you got hit. That first hit means you're officially involved in the football game.
I love those kickoffs. Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, I remember my own personal experience when I played American Legion ball in Lynn 100 years ago, it seems, nowadays. But the Post 6 fans traveled with the team. When we went on an away game, we had more fans sitting behind our bench and down the foul line than the home team had. And not only was it parents, but it was members of the Post who came and watched you play.
Really?
And it was really such an emotional rush, an adrenaline rush, that these guys care about the team. And they knew your name, even as a first-year player. You know, playing at Barry Park, you come off the field, and they're using your name. Come on, Tim, let's get up there and get something going here. And it's like, whoa. So it does have an impact, I think, on the players. It's an emotional lift to look up and see the crowd and see not only family members but other members of town that you know coming to support you.
All right, we got the Division III North final coming up. Both teams are massed at the goal lines in a line facing each other as Melrose came out first, Danvers second. Good hand for each of the teams as they will be introduced. We're minutes away from kickoff. Bill Newell will be back after the next break. I appreciate it. I'll see you at halftime. And we do have Melrose and Danvers coming up tonight. Division III North finals. It's the semifinals of the state MIAA championships. Football coming up here on MSONewsSports.com.
Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts. The only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Welcome back to Manning Field and Lynn. Bill Newell, along with Paul Ingram, Tim Kearns, and Rick Moore here for MIAA Division III State Semifinal Football. The winner of this one goes on to Gillette Stadium next Saturday, and we've had our coin toss, and we're just about ready to get underway. Danvers coming in at 8-2 with playoff wins over Revere, Tewksbury, and Marblehead. Melrose coming in at 10-0 this year with playoff wins over Wakefield, Wayland, and Concord-Carlisle. Last week they were down to Concord-Carlisle, I think, by 10 points at the half, came back, rallied back to win that game. And Matt Andreas is back for Danvers High School. He should see some action. A couple of weeks ago against Tewksbury, rushed for 161 yards and scored two TDs. But Mike Pellegrini, Pedrini, is the big running back. He scored three touchdowns a week ago, rushed for 200 yards in their win over Concord Carlisle. So, Paul and Tim, you have teams. Danvers has kept the score down on teams. That's how they've been able to win their defense. They haven't scored a lot. So it'll be a little bit of a contrast here, I think, of styles in that regard.
Well, yeah, you're right, and we'll see if Danvers' defense can hold up against I was just watching Melrose pregame, and they throw the ball quite effectively. I mean, I always tell by how the quarterback looks, and is he poised, and he doesn't try to overthrow, and I'm just watching them. They look like they got a pretty good passing attack in pregame, and also we know they have a good running attack. So Danvers might have their hands full. We'll see.
Again, this is an undefeated team. I think it's Andre Coughlin or... we're getting ready to kick off. Melrose will kick off to Danvers, kicking from right to left. So it is Michael Cosolito to kick off. He's a senior, big guy, and he puts the right foot of the ball. Leg swings down. The ball comes all the way down to the 11-yard line, fielded by the Falcons. Run back out over the 20 to the 25 to just about the 30-yard line. And on the return, it might have been Jeremy Cohen for Danvers High School. So Cohen on the return gets it out to the 30. It's about a 19-yard return for him. And we're just underway here in this football game at Manning Field and Lynn. Let's set the Danvers offense for you. They'll use two quarterbacks, Dean Borders and Matt Andreas. Right now coming out, Andreas and took a bunch of snaps, but they've got Danny Lynch working right out of the Wildcat here. The running back takes the direct snap with a wide out each way, takes it, runs off the left side of the line, pounds ahead for a good 6 yards, maybe seven, on the first down run.
You know, Paul, you made mention in the pregame show about Lynch and Andreas being able to find that gap, find that seam, and I think we saw a really good example of that from Lynch right there. As he hit the line, he just sort of turned his body.
Well, he faked like he was going to go outside, and then he ran off tackle, and... You know, he just seems to have the tricks of the trade, being able to do that. This is two tight ends, which balances the defense. A lot of times, Danvers does use two tight ends.
Wide out each way. Again, the direct snap, this time to the quarterback, Andreas. He hits off the right side of the line, gets the first yard, going ahead for about five more yards. Bruno Abatessa is the center. He's a junior, 5'10", 265. Marco Lagambina is one of the guards. Steven Gutsos is another guard. Isaiah Clark is a tackle, and Zach Schutz is another tackle on this Danvers offensive line. So we've seen a couple of different looks offensively for Danvers. Matt Andreas now getting back for his second snap and in the shotgun. And a wideout on the right side goes in motion. Fake handoff to him. Andreas keeps it, runs it ahead, out over the 45 to the 47.
Well, that's that zone read where they put... the flanker in motion, and he times it so he gets the snap right as he comes by, and he reads either the defensive end or maybe a defensive tackle, and if the defensive end goes out with a jet man, he keeps the ball and tucks it and goes off tackle, which he did there.
Zach Turner checking into the game, I believe, for Danvers. Abatessa out over the ball at center. Two, one wide out, far side left, one near side right. Danvers working left to right here. And this is Lynch back in the Wildcat, takes the direct snap, gets it up over midfield, grinds down near the 47. If he got the 47, he'd have the first down. I think he's just going to be maybe a foot or two short, a yard short.
You know, the thing with him is that you think he's down, and he got another 2 yards.
Just underway, first quarter, no score. Danvers getting the football first on the Melrose kickoff. It's Melrose and Danvers here tonight in this Division III MIAA playoff game. Great to have you with us here tonight on MSONewsSports.com. Plenty of winter sports scheduled for this year here on MSO News Sports as well, hockey and basketball. This is Lynch again from the direct snap, hits off the left side of the line, does short, but bounces off, gets the first down to the 41.
Well, they changed their defense on that one. They went to a five-man line for a short yardage, and they actually got him bottled up inside, and he bounced it out.
If you're a coach, Paul, you like what you're seeing right now. If you're the Danvers offensive coach,
you have
coach,
a good feeling right
out,
now.
You're getting some first downs. You're not. It's not with big plays. You're holding the ball. They don't have it, and you're getting those first downs and moving upfield.
Yeah. And you're getting four or five chunks of yards at a whack going straight at a very good defense.
from the 41. It's a first down for Danvers in Melrose territory. This is Lynch again from the direct snap. Hits off the left side of the line. Breaks out. He's got 10 yards down to the 31. Hits the sidelines to about the 28-yard line. He stays inbounds where it'll be a first down for Danvers at the Melrose 28.
Great straight arm to fend off the linebacker
coming and make
the play.
Some of those skills you don't see a lot anymore, and they really do work.
And all it took was just enough of the straight arm to send the backer off balance and allowed him just to bounce away from him.
Matt Andreas now in a quarterback, the 5'11", 185-pound, 80-pound junior. So he takes the direct snap, has a wide out each way. Wide out on the left comes in motion back to the near side, takes a handoff. This is Lynch coming around the right side. He gets maybe 4 yards just to about the 25-yard line. Just some stats on Andreas. He has rushed for 771 yards this year, scored 10 touchdowns, and he's passed for 315 yards. So it's around 1,100 yards of offense, three TDs from the air from quarterback Andreas.
One of the things you don't see is that there's a lot of pulling and trapping with the line. So there's a lot of finesse to this offense.
From the shotgun, Andreas with the call. We're in the first quarter. Quick pass out on the left side. Lynch makes the catch in the backfield. Hits off the runs around left end.
They're going to call a hold, I believe.
Yeah, he was close to a first bent down, but didn't have first down yardage, and the flag is down. 6:38 to go, first quarter, scoreless here. So Danvers effectively eating up the clock. Let's set the Melrose defense for you up front. Brian Mercer, Daniel Ouellette, Christian Perkins, and Cameron Hickey. Linebackers include Jarrett Botello, Will Brinchero, Colin Casey, and back in that secondary, Tom Calvert, Mike Pedrini, Stephen Abbott, and Alex Burton, all defensively for Melrose High School, and Coach Tim Morris for Melrose.
You know, and that was almost more of an accidental hole, Paul, because the wide receiver had the initial block on the cornerback, but as Lynch went around the corner, the defensive man peeled away, and he just didn't let go of him fast enough.
Yeah.
Now Andreas is a wideout, as well as Mike Nestor, near side, right side. Lynch is the quarterback. He just takes the snap and heads ahead for maybe 3 yards back to the 30. So a three-yard pickup
by Melrose there. They put him on his back.
Botello, I think, was one of those players, a linebacker who made the hit. 6:20 to go, first quarter. Mike Nestor coming back in from the sidelines. And now Nestor goes wide out right side. Lynch slotted to the right side. So Andreas back at quarterback here for Danvers. Stands at the 34, gets the direct snap, rolls to the right side. Quick pass out on the right side, and the catch is made. And run to the near sidelines. Lynch with it. Gets it to about the 21 or 22. Well, they're calling it the 23-yard line. So it's now fourth down here. And about five to go. So fourth and five. They're in four down territory here at the 23 of Melrose. Sean Terrio for Danvers High School, their head coach. Nestor goes wide out, far side left. And Jeremy Cohen is a wide out, near side right. Slot to the right side as well. Andreas the quarterback. Fourth down and five. Direct snap. Andreas will throw. Looking left. Throwing that way. And it is picked off, intercepted there. Is it Abbott upfield on the right side? He's to the 40, up to midfield. One man to knock him down, and he's still going down to the 20, to the 10. Abbott all the way down to the 6-yard line before he is taken down. But let's see who got that interception. I think it is number 9, Stephen Abbott of Melrose.
Well, you could see that coming. They trailed Lynch. They sent the wide receiver down the field, and they trailed Lynch. And Andreas was looking at him the whole way, and the safety just made him look like he was open. So he threw the ball, and he cut right in front, and there was just no one to stop him down the whole sideline.
Yeah,
so
it was a well-timed defensive maneuver. He sat on the pass, and again, as you said, Paul, he duped him into it. And as soon as the ball was in, and that ball floated. That didn't have a whole lot, because he was trying to throw it over the linebacker. The linebacker who had actually pretty good position.
All right, first and goal at the 5-yard line, and a flags drop procedure call coming up against Melrose. They got it down to the 5, an 80-yard interception return by Abbott of Melrose High School. Stephen Abbott, the junior.
Well, Matt Andreas looked pretty healthy on that foot because he used the lone eagle back, Dal Falcon rather, back there with a chance to stop him, at least to slow him down till the posse arrived.
Quarterback Julian Nyland out there. This is their first offensive series here. Direct snap. I mean, the bug is off to Tyler possibly, and he's wrapped up nothing. Or was that looking for
20?
Was it 20? Okay.
So yeah, that would be early in the game. This is a very
that was Nyland keeping it then. Julian Nyland, the senior quarterback, 6'1", 180.
This is a very important defensive stand for Danvers to prevent Melrose from taking advantage of that turnover after they had a very long sustained drive.
Nyland with a tailback behind him, halfback set to his right side, takes a direct snap, gives to the running back. That's Pedrini, and he's wrapped up. He's the Pedrini is the guy that you guys were talking about in the pregame show, but he's 5'10", 180 pounds. Big, big performance a week ago. Big, big season for him. 20 touchdowns, 18 of them from the ground, but right there, negative yardage.
Zach Seuss, 6'2", 205, just blew that up in the backfield. He really got the ball in his gut before he was wrapped up.
Chance.
4 minutes, 30 seconds to go. First quarter, no score here. Melrose with a big 80-yard interception return, bringing it down to the 5-yard line, and now they've been pushed back out outside the 10 to the 12. Quarterback in trouble and sacked back at the 20.
Well, there's that Danvers defense, Bill, that you mentioned, not giving up a whole lot of points. Coming up with two huge defensive plays back-to-back here to just continue to push Melrose back towards midfield. Number 55, Marco Lagambina.
Yeah, and the
6'1", 230.
Yeah, he's the nose on this Danvers defense. You know, I see a lot of cars around here. I wonder if there's a lot of people still haven't been able to get in here for this game tonight across the way outside the stadium. Here's a field goal attempt here by Melrose. Cosolito looked like he was lining up to go for the field
goal.
Boy,
nice kick.
And it's up and good.
Ooh. Well, no hesitation there. They knew they were going to go for a field goal, and he made it. So, boy, that's kind of a little victory for Danvers after moving the ball all the way down the field and then – But that interception, he kind of gave it away. He was just staring at Lynch the whole way, and
again, great read by the safety, as you said, Paul. He saw the eyes, he followed it, and he just sort of drifted.
Yeah, he didn't want to. He wanted to make. He wanted him to throw it, so he knew he could intercept it. So give them credit, but
and then he went up in the air and took it away, and took it away from the intended receiver, and then was able to maintain his. He started to get down. He held himself up, and then managed to get himself going in gear.
We're brought to you in part tonight by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill, and by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor of Honeydew Donuts. Honeydew Donuts located right out on Route 114 in Danvers, out near Route 1. Check out Honeydew Donuts. So now, the kickoff.
Well, based on what we've seen so far, Danvers knows they can move the football. I'm not sure Melrose feels like they can.
But they're up 3-0. Cosolito's kickoff rolls by a defender back there, down back to the 5. Danvers will start up and get only back to the 10 as it skimmed by one of the deep guys. And so Danvers will start at their 10 or 11-yard line.
Thirty-six-yard field goal. You don't see many kids kicking 36 and no. In high school, obviously the kid's got a leg, and he did that very easily too.
Yeah, he did it. Looks smooth.
Yeah, he's a big guy, big kid. So the Danvers offense back out of the field for the second time. They got the kickoff to start the game, drove but had that interception as we talked about, and their offense starts off at the 11-yard line. Direct snap to the quarterback, and he runs off the left side of the line up near the 12. So a gain of about 5, maybe 6 yards. Lynch, the ball carrier, running out of the Wildcat. We have just about 3 minutes to play, 3 minutes 10 seconds to play, first quarter. 3-0 Melrose leading here on MSONewsSports.com. Bill Newell, Paul Ingram, Tim Kearns, and Rick Moore here with you on a Friday night, North Shore High School football. Here's the direct snap, and this is... Is that Borders now quarterbacking? I saw Andreas come back out on the field. That's Lynch with the
ball.
Lynch got stopped. maybe a yard out to the 18 or 19. He needs to get to the 21 for the first down. So it's a third down and two.
Typically what happens, too, is it takes time to get used to the flow of the game. And, you know, Melrose, they were moving the ball quite easily. And, you know, sometimes they get used to what Danvers is doing out on the field and can adjust to it better than it's better than waiting till halftime, that's for sure.
Third down and probably a short three. And Lynch takes the direct snap. He's got the first down, slicing his way up to the 24-yard line. First down for Danvers. 2 minutes, 15 seconds to play, first quarter.
No. Again, that body movement goes in straight and then turns and lets his shoulder lead through. And again, there wasn't a whole lot of space to run through on that line. These Merrows is clogging it up pretty good.
Bruno Abatessa, the center, 5'10", 265-pound junior for Danvers High School. Andreas in the lineup. He's a slot to the right side along with a wideout, Mike Nestor. Lynch in the backfield. Danny Lynch takes a direct snap again. Off the right side of the line, he runs out to the 29.
He actually hesitates, you know, and lets the blocking set up. He doesn't really attack it right away like some backs do. And he just kind of Santos? Yeah,
Who's
Santos here? Just, yeah, well, there's an advantage to that, too.
I mean, we did the PBD game a few weeks back, and Santos ran out of so many hand tackles. I mean, he's so fast, he hits it so hard, he doesn't give you a chance initially to get a good rep on him.
Nestor wide out far side left, and Andreas near side right. That would be Matt Andreas. And the snap comes right back to Lynch, and he's wrapped up. Really no gain there. Struggling to get back to the line of scrimmage, which was the 29. So this will set up a third down and about 5 yards to go from the 29. Under a minute to play here. Seconds winding down here in the first quarter. 3-0. Melrose is leading Danvers. Danvers with the blue uniforms, the white helmets, the white pants. Melrose with the away white uniforms, the white helmets, and the bright red numerals. Defending to our right, Danvers to our left. So here's a third down and four, or third down and five, excuse me, from the 29-yard line. It's a pitch play out to Lynch, sweeps the left side, turns the corner, has the first down to the 40. So he got about six extra yards, picking up about 11 on that carry.
And it's like Lynch, quick pitch from the shotgun formation. Well, I'll tell you, Lynch is going to be tired after this game, after this half.
If he gets through the quarter. Merrill set number 52, linebacker Jared Patello on a blitz from the left side, and all he could do was chase Lynch. He never caught up to him.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing they went left because Lynch would have got nailed right behind the line of scrimmage. But great call.
Andreas back at quarterback now. Halfback to his right, tailback behind him. The give is to the tailback. Lynch straight ahead, maybe 2 yards at the most. Time running down here in the first quarter, and I believe that will be our last play of the first quarter. The score at the end of one quarter, it is Melrose 3, Danvers nothing here on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
First quarter stats. Danny Lynch of Danvers, 12 carries, 69 yards. Melrose, leading 3-0, has a negative 14 yards so in the of offense in the first quarter. So Danvers with it now, working right to left as we get the first snap of the second quarter. 3-0 Melrose. Andrews, the quarterback, hands off to Lynch for maybe 2 yards out to the 43. I don't think he got the 44. He needs to get up to midfield for a first down.
Coach, Danvers is just continually pounding it up between the tackles, looking to hopefully to break one here, and it's the occasional sweep to the outside. What's the mindset on that?
Well, they must have a lot of confidence in their offensive line. And, you know, they just be patient. I mean, that's what they do. I think they might attempt to go outside a little more.
Here's Andreas rolling right side on 3rd and 7. He's ripped down and taken down in the backfield, trying to roll out and pass.
You know, they really weren't hurting themselves going to the outside, but in the, but that was costly. I think Lynch was open real quick, and he just didn't see him or didn't get the ball to get it ready to get released. But they had getting the ball on the 10-yard line. He tried to get field position, and
all right, Cameron Hickey with that big sack on Andreas. Here's Zach Turner to punt. The snap rolls to him. He picks it up, boots it away. A good punt. Hand lands at the 30-yard line. And fielded at about the 28 and run back out of bounds, far side left by Melrose, shy of the 35. Probably mark it down just outside the 30-yard line. So what could have been a very disastrous situation for Danvers, already trailing here 3-0, but more offense for Danvers in this first quarter than for Melrose. We're now early in the second quarter, 3-0, Melrose is leading, and they come out offensively. Jarrett Botello out over the ball at center, one of their captains. Julian Nyland, the quarterback, 6'1", 180-pound senior. Handoff, run play. This is Pedrini off to the right side, out near the 35, about a 5-yard gain for the big Melrose running back. Again, we've been talking about him, 5'10", 180, 20 touchdowns, 18 of them from the ground this year. The guards are Colin Casey and Alec Bookman, and the tackles Brian Mercer and Dan Ouellette for Melrose High School. Now Will Brinchero goes, it's a wide out near side right, two wide outs far side left, ball hash mark right side, direct snap comes to the quarterback, fakes the handoff, keeps it, runs around left end, he's got a first down out to the 45. Nice quick run by Julian Nyland.
He had a nice fake, he rode the back in, which means you give him the ball and you take a step forward, and it's hard to distinguish if he's going to give it or keep it, and he kept it and got a few blocks to the outside.
So he's
there's a personal foul, face mask.
He's a run and a pass threat. Last week he ran for 151 yards and passed for 144 yards. So this penalty is going against Melrose.
That's unusual, offensive face mask penalty.
That hurt because that was a nice run by Nyland.
That generally happens in the line itself. Maybe someone going to grab the block or more
often than
not.
I think it's probably a blocker getting high with his hands.
Second down and 11 for Melrose. Again, wide out to the near side right is Brinchiero, the senior, 6'2", wide out. A slot to the right side is Alex Burton, one wide out, far side left, and backs on each side of the quarterback, Nyland, who takes a direct snap. Again, he fakes the handoff, starts to the left side. He's ripped down. Tackle right away. Kiernan Moriarty, the junior D-end defensive lineman, making the hit and bringing him down. Loss on the play. So Moriarty with a big hit there for Danvers. We're in the second quarter. Melrose is leading 3-0. Ball is at the 27-yard line. And this will be a third down and about 13 for Melrose. Quarterback Nyland with a halfback to his left side from the shotgun. Takes the direct snap, looks to pass, looking over the middle now. Fires down long over the middle, and it's incomplete. The intended receiver was Brinchiero. Brinchiero thought he might have been roughed up a little bit by Tad Coakley, the sophomore defender.
Yeah, the Danvers defender sort of tripped over the receiver's back trailing foot as he tried to cut inside, but it didn't seem to impact the receiver at all in his movement downfield, and the ball was overthrown by a little bit, so I think the referee just said, you know, didn't have enough impact on the play.
Here's the punt. Oh. It's a very short punt, not going too far.
Almost
won't even
blocked.
Get to midfield. Yeah. It'll land inside the 45, touched there by Melrose. So it's at the 43, and the line of scrimmage was the 27.
Well, the breaks of so far have gone Damage's way. Their offense has performed better than Melrose. They haven't had a penalty yet. Melrose has taken two costly penalties. They've had the bad punt and lead 3-0.
Well, you know, Danvers looks like they can move the ball against Melrose. Melrose, I'm not sure if they can move the ball against Danvers. And this is good field position. This is a short field now. And that's all, now they're going to the Wildcat power offense.
Ball at the 43-yard line. Lynch takes a direct snap off the left side of the line to the 40, to the 39. And a scrum for it. Almost people are reacting like the ball might have been loose there, but...
Well, what
that's
they do
the
is
case,
they
yeah.
just have one wide out, and then they put two backs right up, and they tell you where they're going. They did this against Gloucester Thanksgiving Day last year, and you know where it's going, but they got more bodies than you have. So they tend to get positive yardage out of it, and it looks like they're going to stay with it.
4-yard gain, second down and 6. Lynch will take this direct snap. And he has the power to the right side this time, and that's where he goes, right behind it. He's got a first down to the 30, running outside 20, to the 15, to the sidelines at the 10. Zigzagging his way around right end and to the sidelines at the 10-yard line, and this will be a first and goal for Danvers.
I've seen Danvers, you know, probably about 5 games since Thanksgiving Day last year. I haven't seen anybody stop this offense.
Well, that was such an overload. They had three guys in the backfield besides the quarterback, and they were bunched up just behind the right guard, right tackle, rather. So, you know, you just said, they just overwhelmed that side of the field.
Yeah, and if you're just over, they must have something coming back the other way.
So Lynch is there to take the direct snap again here. This time the strong side is to the left, the wide-open part of the field, and that's where he heads. He's inside the 10 to the 5 to the 3.
Well,
Danny Lynch.
They've got him outnumbered. Unless Melrose, and Melrose knows they run this, they've got to bring more bodies over.
No huddle right away from the 3-yard line. Second down and goal from the 3. Lynch again coming left side. He gets one more yard down near the 2. It's like you're in traffic and you put your blinker on. I'm going to take a left, and sure enough you do. Giving everybody plenty of warning.
This kind of reminds me of the single wing.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, it's just they got the two bodies over there plus the tight end tackle guard, and the quarterback gets the direct snap, and he just runs off tackle. They probably have different schemes, too, the little blocking schemes to change it up a little on the outside.
So here we go, third down and goal, ball at about the 2-yard line.
Now, this is unbalanced also.
Lynch to the right side this time. He's caught from behind. He'll be stopped at the 1.
Great penetration there.
Yeah, I think that was
56, I think it was.
Oh, was it? Colin Casey is 56.
Yep.
A linebacker. So Casey did a great job coming from behind and getting Lynch. That was a great stop by Casey then. Melrose trying to make a stop here. Here we go. Fourth down and goal from the 2-yard line, maybe just inside the 2 to the end zone to our left. Danvers shifts on the count, and Lynch takes the direct snap, goes straight ahead and in for the touchdown. No left, no right, just a little hesitation, as you were mentioning about earlier, Paul, and then diving it into the end zone straight ahead.
Well, what they did is
there was an alley there.
Yeah, they shifted those two guys that were at the wing, and they put them over between the guard center gaps on each side. So they just blew everybody out of there. I mean, they had 5 bodies right in the middle.
Yeah, and we could see the alley from here that he went straight through. Didn't have to turn his shoulders at all. He just ran straight into that hole.
Danny Lynch with 6 touchdowns now in the season. Point after kick is up. That's strong, and it is good. Booted through by David Diesbeck of Danvers High School. So they are on the board with a touchdown and the point after, and lead Melrose here 7-3 in the second quarter. We'll step aside. We'll remind you you're listening to MSONewsSports.com. This is an MIA Division III playoff game.
For all that's new in kitchen cabinets, visit Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Diesbeck will kick off for Danvers, leading 7-3 now, second quarter. Eating up a lot of time are the Falcons here. They have now Lynch with that one-yard touchdown run, a six-play, 43-yard drive. Lynch now with 108 yards of rushing in tonight's game on 18 carries. Melrose, a negative 17 yards of offense here in tonight's game. Diesbeck's kick from right to left lands at the 27-yard line, rolls ahead, picked up by Melrose and run right back out to the 31. Good strong return, a little extra pushing and shoving as the whistle blows. Melrose will take over there. We have just 5 minutes, 11 seconds to play in the first half. Fast-moving first half here.
Davis is playing true to form, Paul.
Yeah.
Moving the ball, not scoring a lot of points, but not giving up any ground on defense.
Right, certainly not. And eating up the clock. I mean, as the opposing team, you just feel like, if I don't get a first down, they're going to keep the ball for another 5 minutes.
Here's a run play.
That
is the running back, Pedrini, gets wrapped up. No gain on the play. In fact, I think he lost a few yards. And you think, Paul, you know, again, after that interception, the 80-yard interception by Melrose, taking it down to the 5, so it was a first and goal from the 5-yard line. They pushed them back. They had to settle for the field goal, albeit a great kick to get that 3 points, the field goal for Melrose. But this Danvers defense, this is a classic, seems
to
me.
The only positive yardage was that quarterback keeper, and they had a penalty on it.
Yeah, so that doesn't...
So that's the only play that they've really actually gained some yardage.
Nyland, the quarterback, quick pass out on the right side. The catch is made there by Brinciero. It's wrapped up right away. He picks up a few yards out to the maybe the 34, 35.
All of Danvers' defensive backs are decisive. They see what's happening in front of them, and they make a decision and go full speed. And that doesn't always happen in high school. I mean, he just came right up and made the hit right after he caught the ball.
Nyland out of the shotgun, wideouts two each way. Ball from the 35. Nyland wants to throw left, does so. It's out there, and it's incomplete, intended for Pedrini, who does come out of the backfield and receives. Back deep for Danvers High School defending was Quinton Holland, the sophomore. So again, to follow up on that earlier thought, Paul, then to give them the ball at the 5 is not a defensive issue for them. It was an offensive issue where the interception resulted in the 80-yard return down to the 5. So their defense has been solid here tonight. Now they're forcing a fourth down punt from the 35. Quick punt out to the right side, rolls ahead without a return down to the 30. And a nice Melrose roll inside the 25 to the just about the 21-yard line. Wow.
So Melrose has got to think now, will I see the ball again offensively in this half?
Oh, and, you know, Paul, years ago when you – no, not so years ago, when you were coaching, we talked one time, and it was, you know, give me 4 yards and a cloud of dust, and I'm going to keep getting first downs, and I'm going to wear you down. And at one point, we're going to get a gap, and we're going to shoot a big one.
Yeah.
But I'll just take the time off the clock and never let you have it.
It's very frustrating for the other team, you know, and that's, you know, it seemed to be the way we played well. And, you know, 3 1/3 yards, 3 1/3 yards, go for first downs. Big plays will happen, but don't plan on them.
All right, from the Wildcat, this is Lynch on the direct snap, first down from the 21, hits off the right side of the line for 2 yards out to the 23.
And the running game just keeps the clock going. And so, you know, the style that you're playing, not stopping the clock hinders the other team as well.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they're out there a lot. Look at how long, you know, Melrose's defense has been out there.
And especially if you're a two-way player, backing up is a lot harder than going forward.
Right, well, you're taking shots rather than giving them, you know.
Danvers has called a timeout, so they do stop the clock. They have a 2nd and 8 coming up here from their own 23-yard line. Danvers coming in 8-2 with playoff wins over Revere, Tewksbury, and Marblehead. Melrose 10-0. Their 3 playoff wins have been over Wakefield, Wayland, and Concord-Carlisle. Last week's score, 38-20 over Concord-Carlisle. And as I mentioned, Mike Pedrini with the 3 touchdowns in that game, 200 yards. Well, they're not anywhere close to that here tonight with this Danvers defense. Again, I've been saying for a few weeks now, this Danvers defense is the story of the year as far as I'm concerned. And look what they've done here to this Melrose team. It's not over yet. And this is a Melrose team, by the way, as a history kind of coming back in the second half or coming back from deficits. But yet, 7-3 doesn't sound like much, but the way Danvers has been playing
You wouldn't think the score would be that after it, just watching the game. But still got a long ways to go.
Case in point, the Tewksbury game. Danvers heavily the underdog there and winning 14-13 up in Methuen. Tewksbury. Yeah.
Okay, this is where they shift that strength, so it makes the defense have to shift.
Out of the Wildcat, Lynch to the left side. He's out to the 30.
Very now, close to the first down.
Yeah, but if he has the 31, it's a first down, and the spot is
shy.
Boy,
that was not a favorable spot at all.
It's a bad spot, though.
I think they put it down where his toe hit.
They're going to go real fast here and run the same power.
Third down and a foot for a yard.
See how they shift the tackle over, so they got a tackle, guard on the left side.
Here comes Lynch and a flag. Play stops. So this is a procedure call against Danvers. So now instead of a 3rd and 1, they'll have a 3rd and 6 coming up. Well, penalties. Well, it's almost like a game of inches here now tonight with these two.
Is this the kind of offense that you don't want to have those penalties that drop it back to a second or a third and 6 or 7? Because it looks the way it is. It's designed to get the 3 to 4 yards at a chip.
It is, but he's getting more out of it than expected.
3rd down and 6 from the 25. Lynch Wildcat now takes a direct snap, now throws upfield for Nestor. Oh. Incomplete. Nearly intercepted. I think Nestor, the receiver, broke it up as it was Alex Burton who nearly intercepted that football and almost really had it.
I think he did two things. He leaped for the ball and tipped it, and the linebacker behind him started to come down with it. He was trying to control it, and Nestor came down and stripped it.
Yes, he did.
As he was falling down.
I think that's the play they ran against Beverly to score the winning touchdown, that option pass.
So it's 4th down here, and they'll punt. And back to punt is Turner. Right foot goes into the ball, and he nails this one. It rolls beyond the defender, back out of bounds at the 21.
Yeah, that was a low-line drive that was twisting. Yeah, and you knew that was going to be a good punt.
Well, yeah, the only thing, as I always say, is it's hard for one person or one player to go back on punts. To cover 55 yards of field, I always liked having two guys back there because not catching that punt lost them 20 yards.
Yeah.
Well, Melrose did get the ball back here in the second half, Paul. So their defense has made a statement. So
well, they got 2 minutes here, so let's see if they throw the ball a little bit.
Julian Nyland, the quarterback, has trips out far side left, ball near hash mark right side, but they hand off for a run play. This is Jay Tyler. Look out. 30, 40, up to midfield, busting it. Down to the 40, 30, 20. They're not going to catch him. He's gone.
Wow. He found a seam.
Well, actually, Danvers had more in the secondary. It looks like they were playing the pass, and they ran the ball, and he went right up the middle, and he beat the safety, and there was no one left.
Well, 79-yard run, that big play like that will be big. Now, they've had an 80-yard interception return, and now this 79-yard run on first down, they'll attempt the point after kick. Ball is teed up. The kick is up. It's strong, and it is good.
And this kicker from Melrose definitely has a leg. He boomed that onto the track beyond the field goal.
Well, what was costly was that illegal procedure penalty against Danvers.
Yeah, that was huge as it turned out. And, you know, a lot of times a five-yard penalty, maybe not a big deal, but the way this game was playing out for Danvers, it was a turning point for them,
yeah,
for sure.
It was another 2 minutes of offense they could have had if they got a first down.
And that was a big play there. Jay Tyler, the big run for Melrose High School. They are on the board with their first touchdown of the night and now leading 10-3.
You know, has Melrose found a potential flaw in the Danvers defense? Spread them out. Make them spread those defensive backs out. Don't allow them to jam up on the jump right behind the line of scrimmage.
Tyler's 210 pounds.
Yeah, he
ran away from people.
Yeah. Cosolito to kick off for Melrose High School. Late first half here, 10-7. Melrose leading. Long kick goes all the way down to the 13-yard line. Grabbed by the Falcons. Run back out to the 30. On the return for Danvers High School was Tag Coakley, the sophomore. So it'll be first down for Danvers at their own 30-yard line. Well, I'm not real comfortable. If I'm a Danvers fan, I'm not liking when Danvers puts the ball in the air. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
not good things. Things have not been good happening well for them when that happens.
No, but that last pass to Nesta, he was throwing on the right. He didn't get a chance to set his feet, and that's why that ball floated.
Cohen, near side left, wide out, far side right. Coakley coming back out on the field right now. See if they get this playoff. And it is Lynch at quarterback, taking the direct snap. And no, that's Andreas, rather, at quarterback. Hands off and taking the handoff. It's Cohen sweeping the right side. He gets up for a first down, a 12-yard run up to the 42-yard line.
Yeah, they've been running the fake with the running back coming from left to right across. He just handed it up this time. Melrose defensive end sort of got stuck in the mud there, and Cohen was able to get around the corner quite easily.
Plenty of time here for Danvers. They're just a minute 51 remaining first half. 10-7. Now Melrose leading in this game. Andreas at quarterback. Cohen in motion from right to left. Strong side will be the left. And the pitch comes to the left side to Lynch. Turns the corner up and fumbles the ball to the sidelines. Out of bounds up near the 49-yard line, or 48.
He'll bring it back to where he fumbled.
Yeah.
He's getting up kind of slow.
Yeah, he's pounding the ground. He's,
ooh. Yeah, Lynch is coming off with a definite limp. Takes his helmet off. He's on the sidelines now, being attended to.
Well, your body takes a beating carrying the ball that many times.
Into the game is Anders Salmonson, a senior, has seen some action this year as a running back for Danvers High School. Tight look here. And Andreas at quarterback. Wing set right side and two wideouts far side right. Second down and about 7. Andreas quick throw out on the right side. The catch is made. Short of the first down, but up by midfield. This will set up a third down and 2. The receiver was Salmonson. Danvers calling timeout here, or the officials? Danvers. Ball right at midfield. It's a 3rd and 2.
The slot receiver, the outside receiver runs a post or a streak, and the inside receiver runs a square out. It's almost always open, at least quickly, because that flat player has always probably got poor position covering the slot receiver. So you can go down the field throwing that pass.
Danvers has a tight end set to the
Lynch still out.
Right side. Now this is
yes.
Andreas to throw, and he throws upfield. It's intercepted by Melrose at their 41-yard line. Interception by Melrose. Tom Calvert with the interception, the senior corner, stepping up and intercepting that football. And now the time remaining is a minute 3 in this first half. And Melrose, with a big play or two coming down the stretch here, could really make a statement here.
Throwing the ball on the run, feet not set, ball floats.
Yeah.
There was good coverage to begin with.
Yeah.
and on the inside of the receiver, and he couldn't get enough on it to get it over the defender.
Well, the passing game is timing, and he was open, but when the ball gets delivered late, I used to tell the kids, if it doesn't look good, it's probably not going to get better.
Is that why you threw about four times in all the years you coached?
Well, last year we threw quite a bit there, Mr. Curran.
Well,
actually, the last 2 years, Brett Cahill.
Yeah. Was it last year? He had no incompletions.
He had 16 touchdown passes and no interceptions.
He was ridiculous. But my favorite play was when he would hand off on the double reverse, and he was the lead blocker coming around the end. That was my favorite play.
He could block.
So, just in case folks are just tuning in here, that Paul Ingram, the former head football coach at Gloucester High School, Tim Kearns is with us here, and so is Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell here with you on a Friday night, the MIAA Division III state semifinal game here at Manning Field in Lynn, Melrose and Danvers, 10-7, Melrose leading. They have the football at their own 41 with a minute to go here in the first half. Trips, far side left. Well, one wide out near side right.
Danvers has got that three-man line again.
Yeah, they're the same formation as the last touchdown.
Quarterback keeper off the left side for maybe 7 yards or 6 yards for Nyland. Faked a couple of handoffs. Tyler in the backfield and so on. But as we mentioned, Nyland can run and can throw the football. He's kind of balanced in that way. So he picks up almost, well, call it six, second down and four.
Well, that was the exact same formation as the Melrose had on the last touchdown. They put three wide receivers out to the left side. And again, Danvers has to respect the receivers, so it took the men off the line of scrimmage. And the quarterback just came up that same hole, hoping to break it again. Mm-hmm. Danvers a lot quicker to the ball this time, though.
53 seconds to play in this first half.
Danvers has gone to an odd defense from an even defense, so they only got three defensive linemen rather than four now, but
Sansulo, one of the wideouts, near side right. Quarterback Nyland fires way down to the left. Man open. Pedrini has it at the 25. Eludes one tackler and gets out of bounds at the 20. There's another big play. Pass play Nyland to Mike Pedrini.
Well, it's that pass. There's a difference in the passing game. Again, he had time to set his feet. As soon as he saw the receiver break beyond the defensive back, he threw it to the outside where only the receiver could get it.
Nice throw. And
Melrose in stride. You can see this talent coming, shining, beginning to shine a little bit here. This is a run play with it. Tyler straight ahead to the 10, very close to a first down. Starting at the 20, he gets to the 11, so it's a 9-yard gain for the running back. Timeout called by Melrose now with 17 seconds to play in the first half. Melrose leading here 10-7. They jumped out to a 3-0 lead on a field goal. Danvers came back to score on a Danny Lynch one-yard touchdown plunge. And then Melrose has come back. They had the 79-yard run by Jay Tyler. Now they have the football back again here late in the first half with just seconds to play with the ball at the 11-yard line. This is a second down and one from the 11.
Depending on that one formation has changed the whole dynamic of this game.
Do they still have three timeouts left?
Yep.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, I think Melrose does.
So, they could essentially run the ball in, too.
Yeah. So their weapons. Pedrini certainly someone to watch. Huddling up across the way is Melrose. Tim Morris is their head coach. Tim Morris has his team up to a 10-0 start this season. Patricia Ruggiero, their athletic director at Melrose High School. For Danvers High School, head coach Sean Terrio and his athletic director, Andy St. Pierre. So here we go, second down and one. It's a run play. Pedrini straight ahead. He's close to the first down, but he may not have it. We'll see where the spot is. He could be like a football short. Yeah, I think he is. So he really only got a yard. He nearly needed a yard and a half. So it'll be third down and one, and they've called another timeout.
Danvers went to the four-man line again. They got out of the odd defense and back to an even defense. So
you know, the field shortens, so it's a little bit harder for the offense to spread people out.
Brinciaro is a wide out to the left side. There are three near side right, so a spread look here. Nyland, the quarterback.
Man-to-man.
Nyland with a direct snap from the shotgun. Hand off to Jay Tyler. He's got the first down, pounds it to about the 9. I think they're only giving him the 10, though, so this is actually be close to a first down, but I think he's got the first down, yeah.
Jeremy Cohen on the tackle had wrapped him up by the ankles. Prevented any more damage being done beyond the first down.
There's a timeout, Melrose. So they got one more at least here.
Tim, can you read that clock? Can you see this?
26.9.
So, okay.
Oh, it's 26.9?
Yeah, there's a,
oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a pole in the way. So
yeah, there is this pole here. That's the ongoing issue here with us here, or with me.
Yeah.
This seat. Okay, so there's 26 seconds. Other games coming up tomorrow just in for North Shore teams. Masconomet and boys soccer will be right back here at Manning Field tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock for the Division II final against Oliver Ames. St. Mary's boys soccer taking on Monson at Millis High School at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. St. Mary's football team also in action. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Actually, they'll tell you about it right now. They're taking on East Bridgewater at noon at Colley Stadium in Lowell in a semi-final game, and also good luck to Essex Tech taking on Mashpee tomorrow at 11 at Brockton in Division 6. First in goal at the 10-yard line. Nyland, the quarterback, throws to the left side. Looking pass, incomplete. Receiver looked open. Defender must have broken that up. That was Lynch back there. But it was a well-designed play. It looked like it was going to go for the 6 points.
When you play down man-to-man down on the goal line, you have to play inside the receiver. The easiest pass is the inside routes, and you make them throw the harder pass, the outside routes. And it looked like the receiver got inside position on that, and that's dangerous. It's pretty easy to throw, but we're back in man-to-man again.
Sensulo was the receiver, Lynch the defender on that play just a moment ago. So second down and goal from the 10-yard line. And the pass this time, lofting it to the end zone. That is incomplete.
Yeah, that was over the head of number 11. Alex Burton, that was a bullet.
Yeah, he might have put a little bit too much on that football. To the end zone, incomplete. So now it's third down and goal. So how much time is left now? Is that 20.5 seconds.
In kind of a local action, Pingree is down to St. George 13-6 in ISL playoff action.
Timeout Melrose.
Now they have one left. Danvers has two.
No, that's it. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, now they're down to Zippo. Okay, yeah. They just changed the clock.
Yep. This Melrose team beat Masconomet to open up the season 41-14.
Should have been an indication to many of us how good they were, because Masco generally has a very, very solid team, though they kind of struggled this year, Coach.
Well, is this the first year Jim Pugh
without was, Jim, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, no matter what you, as long as you are an assistant, it's just a different ball game being the head coach, and it takes a while to get into rhythm with it, you know, so. Because Masco certainly has got a good program, good players. Always gave us a battle. Now, yep. Generally on this, and you put these trips down the bottom side here, and you do crossing routes. When they're a man-to-man, you try to get them so they pick each other off, but we'll see.
Well, Melrose with a third down and goal here from the 10-yard line. They've got two receivers to the right side. Nyland back rolling the pass to looks right, looking right, holding it, looping it into the end zone. And there's a catch and a touchdown.
No,
it's incomplete. Intercepted. Okay. Excuse me.
For Danvers. Quinton Holland comes up.
Oh, my.
Big. He had rolled back from his linebacker position into the end zone. And again, the quarterback for Marblehead Abbott got a little bit antsy in the pocket looking for a receiver. Finally lofted it in a great defensive play.
Well, it was a throwback. The design was he was going to roll this way and throw to the split end on the other side running a corner route. But the corner stayed with him, and he didn't get open. So then he had to go to the alternative receivers. And I don't know. I mean, he maybe should have thrown it out of the end zone.
Outstanding move by Holland, though, to jump in front of the receiver and bring that down.
Danvers puts a knee down to run out the clock here in the first half, and that'll do it. As the Falcons dodge another bullet, they've really kind of dodged two here tonight. They gave up the 3 points on the earlier in the game, and here they give up nothing as they intercept in the end zone. So a break for the Falcons. We've got a ball game continuing here into the second half here, a three-point game with Melrose leading Danvers High School 10-7. Rick Moore will be back. We'll be rejoining Tim and Paul just ahead here on MSONewsSports.com at the half as we roll on here from MSONewsSports.com.
For the latest information in doors and windows, visit Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder. Fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
All right, it is halftime, and
okay, great, Rick. What do you think was
there? You go. Now you're talking. Put the damn phone down. All right, it is Danvers trailing by a score of 10-7, and this is a weird game because Danvers controlled the first drive. They drove right downfield, had the ball for 11 plays, get it down inside the 23, and then you give up the interception, an 80-yard return, which brings the ball back to the Danvers 5-yard line for Melrose, and they get pushed back, but they do get the 33-yard field goal, take a 3-0 lead, and that was with 3:41 left to go in the first quarter. At that point, Melrose had one possession and minus 14 yards to go along with the 32-yard field goal. And then Danny Lynch for Danvers, who was a tremendous force for most of the first half until about midway through the second quarter, scored a touchdown from a yard out that finished off a six-play, 43-yard touchdown drive for Danvers, and they took a 7-3 lead with 6:19 to go. But then we saw Jay Tyler just explode for Melrose. Melrose with negative yardage up to that point, but he ran for 79 yards, one play with 2:05 left to go first half, and it was 10-7 with Melrose on top. And I heard the coaches out here, the Melrose coaches say, that's there all day long. And I think you pointed that out too, Tim, when they changed the formation.
Well, you know, once they put three receivers out to the left, it forced Danvers to change their defensive formation. As Paul noted, they went to a three-man front, but all the linebackers dropped back, and your safeties and corners were deeper to protect against the pass. And it was just simply the ability of the line to overmatched the, you had 5-on-3 at that point. They busted a big hole on the left-hand side, and Tyler just was threw it in a flash, and he had it straight up field, and he ran right between all the secondary people in a foot race that wasn't even a contest.
Yeah, and you and Paul both mentioned, you mentioned his size and how he pulled away from everybody.
That was the most impressive piece.
We got something really wild going on. We got both bands here, and there are a tremendous number of Melrose Red Raiders in uniform, and also the Danvers Falcons are on the field right now. And I'm so impressed with the people who are here, the crowd. It's very cold outside at the moment, and tremendous crowd for both sides, Northeast Conference on this side, Middlesex on the other side. But it was a weird, it's been a weird first half, and I say that, Tim, because at one point, Lynch had 18 carries for 108 yards in the first half, and Melrose had minus 17 total.
Yeah.
Okay? But then that one play by Tyler just turned this thing, you know, on its ear. And so totals that I have, 141 total off yards of total offense for Danvers, 115 total yards of offense for Melrose now. And, of course, Danny Lynch, the story for Danvers, with 21 carries and 118 yards. But he hasn't had an opportunity to go back in after he seemingly got up a little gimpy there on his most recent carry.
Yeah, but we know Danvers has responded to challenges like this. Last week's game, you know, Andreas went out and Lynch picked up the load, as well as a couple of other players. Gene Bordes picked up the baton at quarterback and did a great job. And again, Danvers just altered what they did and just kept control of the game. Can they do it again in the second half if Lynch isn't able to go? We saw Melrose come right back out in that same formation they scored the touchdown on, and the very next time they got their hands on the ball after the interception. And again, it went for good yardage, the quarterback being taken down from behind. But again, it was a big hole that Davis luckily reacted quickly to. But that could have led to more points. And then, you know, there's a big defensive play in the end zone with time running out to snuff out a potential Melrose scoring opportunity. So both teams have made plays, both teams have missed plays, and again, 10-7, it's the kind of score we expected from a Danvers point of view. It's not the score we probably were expecting from the Melrose point of view, where they have put up a lot of points this year. Danvers hasn't, but neither have they given up a whole lot of points.
Well, I should have mentioned we had back-to-back interceptions, too, to end the first half, because with, you know, after the Tyler touchdown, just one play, 79 yards, Danvers started at their own 30-yard line with a minute and 58 seconds left to go in the half. And they started driving upfield, got to the 50 when they threw the interception on a terrific one-handed catch by Tom Calvert going out of bounds. That was a great catch. And then on the other end, Melrose comes back, does the same thing. They take over from that point, their own 41. And 8 plays later, they give up an interception after a bunch of incompletions. But Quint Holland doing the same thing, stepping inside of the end zone on a terrific, very quick play, and just stopping that drive right there. We're going to take a break. We'll talk more about this. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. At the half, in Division III finals action, Division III North semifinal state action, it is Melrose 10 and Danvers 7.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
All right, we're back at halftime. Danvers band just finishing up down below us. A very impressive performance. Tim's been in the phone, and Tim, what did you find? We're going to go with Matt Williams' stats. What do you have?
Matt's giving us some great stuff here. In terms of time of possession, Danvers controlled the ball for 15:40 compared to Melrose 6:20. Offensive snaps, nearly 2-1, Danvers 32-19. Totally yards much closer because of the big 79-yard run, 157-132, Danvers. Melrose leads in takeaways 2-1 and leads the game 10-7. And he has Mr. Lynch at 122 carries, 127 yards with a touchdown.
All right, so I missed one carry. All right, so 22, what is it, 22?
22 for 127 in the
okay.
TD.
Yeah, I missed one
Jerick
carry.
And Jerick Tyler, three carries, 90 yards and a TD. So that's great for your rushing average, Coach.
What does he have, one carry?
Three carries, three 90 yards.
Okay. But, so, the, you know, 22 carries for Lynch in that first half, and that's significant. We'll see, you know, how it comes out the second half. And, Tim, you know, what we have now is, you know, a situation where whoever plays, whoever wins this game, you know, you play on Thanksgiving, and then you got to go play on Super Bowl Saturday, which is on December 5. And that's okay. That's normal. But for implications for Danvers coming back to Gloucester, you know, their traditional game against Gloucester at Gloucester, you know, should they win this game or not win this game? They've got to make some decisions about who plays and how many guys, you know, gets playing time and so on. We come back to the way the playoffs is. And I've talked to so many people this year who have mixed feelings about this playoff system, but nobody seems to have a better solution.
Go back to the old way. No, because you played your whole league. You didn't play half of the league. You played the whole league.
That's the biggest complaint, is you don't play your regular teams, you know, in the community that you're in.
You know, one of the other things, too, you talk about, do you play Thanksgiving Day because you got to go to the Super Bowl? Well, one of the reasons they restructured this is so that the teams didn't play Thanksgiving, the Tuesday afterward, and the Saturday following. So you got to play your guys to win the game. Coach Ian was talking earlier, you want to win that game, especially the seniors of the team. They don't want to go in there with a half-hearted effort and lose the game heading into
the
Super Bowl game. You don't want that taste in your mouth. You don't want to lose to your to your Thanksgiving Day rival because you gave it a half-hearted, half-team effort. You know, because you know Gloucester's going to come out loaded for bear. They've had a really good season this year, you know, and you know, they lost in the playoffs, but they're still playing for a big, big season.
All right, let's see if Danvers comes out loaded for bear as Melrose has returned to the field. We'll be back for the second half in just a minute.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Andruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts. The only way to go.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Oh, hello.
I don't know. We've got to start over. Testing one. Now I'm working here, I guess. Okay. I guess we're working now. Sorry. We had the kickoff return. The ball went out to the 43. First run play swept to the right side. That was Pedrini. The kickoff return by Melrose. A very good kickoff return by Stephen Abbott. So now we're back. Third down here and four for Melrose from the 48. Quick pass out on the right side, and it is incomplete.
Yeah, a little bit behind the intended receiver, number 84, Will Brinchero, and a little hot and a little bit behind him, and he couldn't twist his body back fast enough to make the reception. A little bit more to the inside or a little less on, he may have been able to bring that down. Would have been close for the first down anyways. It was good coverage by the defensive secondary for Danvers.
So this will be a fourth down, and Melrose will punt it away. Calvert puts the right foot of the ball,
Lynch
boots it away from
back.
Right to left. Lynch has it at the 15, runs it back out to about the 24, maybe the 23, where it'll be first down for Danvers at that location.
Interesting formation on that pump ball. He wasn't in the traditional deep reception for the kicker. He took maybe like seven yards deep, and then a little rugby sprint to the right, and then
well, the colleges are doing that now, and I don't know the logic behind it. The only thing is you might get better coverage because you're delaying it. But when you punt, you want your push-off foot planted, and when you're running like that, I don't know if you get as good a push as you do with a regular punt.
Danny Lynch is quarterbacking out of the Wildcat, takes the handoff, and he barely gets back to the line of scrimmage. The power side was to the left side. Bruno Abatesso, the center, Marco Gambina, one of the guards, along with Steven Gutzos, the tackle, Zach Schutz, and Isaiah Clark, the other tackle. Coming in with a play off the bench for Danvers High School is Dean Borders.
See what Melrose does to that power offense.
Got two
although they're not in it now.
Two wideouts, far side left, one near side right. And this is Andreas, a quarterback, with the shotgun look. And he hands off. And turning the left corner is Keon out to the left side, out to about the 34-yard line.
Well, they got to the outside that time on the jet sweep. So we'll see if they're going to pound it or they're going to go to the regular offense.
Well, it seemed in the first half, it's where they got their big chunks of yardage, is when they swept to the outside.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
but then now we have a penalty on that.
Yeah, it's going against the Falcons, pushing them way back to the 20.
Now, this is really a key series for Danvers, having stopped Melrose on their opening possession of the second half, trying to come out and to reestablish the offensive flow that they had in the first quarter.
At least they want to get good field position, because if they have to punt here, then Melrose is going to get good field position. Field position is so important. It's hard to go 70 or 80 yards without making a mistake.
From the 20-yard line, second down and 13 for Danvers. Direct snap, comes back to Andreas, hands off to Lynch, sweep to the right side. He was in motion from left to right. Gets out to the 29. He's smothered down. So this will set up a third and short, or third and maybe five for the Falcons. Matt Andreas playing quarterback. Some of the quarterback action tonight, along with Danny Lynch out of that Wildcat, the 5'10", 165-pound senior.
We got someone down for Danvers.
So Lynch was injured, as we mentioned, late in the first half, kind of came off the field, but good to see him back out there here to start the second half. But we do have an injured Danvers player out on the field right now. Setting the Melrose defense for you. Up front, Brian Mercer, Daniel Ouellette, Christian Perkins, and Cameron Hickey. Linebackers include Jarrett Butello, Will Brinciero, and DeColin Casey. And back in their secondary, Alex Burton, Stephen Abbott, Mike Pedrini, and Tom Calvert for Melrose High School. The head coaches in tonight's game, Sean Terrio for Danvers High School, and Tim Morris for Melrose High School. Who was the injured Danvers
number
player?
Seven.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah.
So that would be...
That's going to hurt him on
Taj
defense.
Taj Coakley.
Taj Coakley. So this is a third down. It is the quarterback here is Borders. Borders throws out on the left side. It's caught. It's a first down out near the 40-yard line. That's Lynch with the reception.
You know, I remember young Dean Borders' dad. Dean was the owner of Maple Street Tavern. A few years back, he was a sponsor with us, and he told me his son had made the freshman team as a quarterback. And he said in a couple of years he was going to be the starting quarterback.
Well, he made a nice throw there,
you
I'll
know,
tell you.
So maybe we'll see Danvers throwing the ball a little bit more here in the second half and maybe into next season as they move forward.
I think that was Border's first run at quarterback here. So a change up here. Now they've got the power. This is Lynch at quarterback here. Takes the direct snap, sweeps the right side. He's to midfield. Cuts back inside, 45 out of bounds to the 41.
Yeah, he got a nice block by Jeremy Keown there to seal off the linebacker and give Lynch the corner, allowing him to get up here. And then Lynch did a nice job of cutting back against the flow of the coverage to get another 4 or 5 yards. But he can tell he's a little bit tentative. He got near the sideline and he saw the safety coming up and he jumped out of bounds.
He's rather
done
than
that,
try
to take him on.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a time you know too that you're not going to cut back. Usually on that kind of play, it's called a weak shoulder. You go cut back, but if he has you pinned in, I mean, he's making a lot of carries.
He is, and he takes a direct snap again. This time pushes off the left side of the line for on the first down run. He just gets back to the line of scrimmage. That's it. No gain.
I think that was Vitale on that carry. Is Andreas?
So quick.
I haven't seen Andreas.
Yep, Vitaly.
And you're right, Coach. Andreas, I don't even see him on.
I wonder if that was Andreas who got. Oh, no, it wasn't Andreas you were saying. Never mind. Okay, so this will be a second down and 10 for Danvers from the 41 of Melrose. Lynch hands off. This is Keon to the left, and he has 3 yards down inside the 40 to maybe the 37. If he has a good spot, he's got the 37.
That's the counter play. They ran that power offense look, and they countered back away from it to keep the keeps the defense honest. Even if you don't gain yardage, it makes them stay home so they can't pursue.
But I did find Andreas on the sideline. He's right directly down in front of us.
This is a third down in about 7. Lynch takes a direct snap, and he gets only back to the line of scrimmage.
84. Will Brinchero again sliding in for his defensive end position. Wrapped up Lynch by the ankles. Didn't let go of him.
Also Colin Casey there to help out. And so now it's fourth down here. So Danvers with a fourth down, and it's a good six, good strong 6 yards for them at the 37 of Melrose. Out over the ball is Abatessa for Danvers. They're going for it here in four down territory. Again from the 37, fourth down and 6.
Wise call, Paul.
And this is the quarterback, Borders, rolling to the right side. He's in trouble. He gets down to the 435, and that's it. He's short of the first down. He picked up maybe 2 yards on that run. Didn't find anyone open to throw to as he rolled to the right side.
Paul, make that call, or do you try to pin him deep?
Well, if you have a play that you really think is special and it's going to work, run it. If you're unsure, I would have punted it.
Because
that's a lot to ask. I mean, they're not getting huge chunks anyways.
So Melrose, I'm sorry,
well,
Paul.
Well, just that they have a pretty good field position now, 35-yard line.
Melrose leading here, 10-7, third quarter. Fake handoff from quarterback Nyland. He keeps it off the right side. Look out, he's going to the midfield stripe, down to the 40, to the 30. They won't catch him. He goes in for a 65-yard touchdown run. Julian Nyland.
That's a triple option, so he faked the dive, and then he comes out, and he's got a back that he can pitch to, and he just reads where the defender plays. The defender played the pitch man, so he turns it upfield. It's assignment football on defense, and they run it out of various formations, so sometimes the defense gets confused who's got quarterback, who's got dive, and who's got pitch man.
Well, one of the things that happened there is because of that 79-yard run earlier, Tyler was tapped right away as soon as the quarterback faked the ball to him, and everybody seemed to compress into the middle, and that just opened up that outside where it was just one on two, and he had to pick one play to cover, and he picked the pitch man, and again the quarterback just cut up inside, and then it was just a foot race, and he showed excellent speed there. He just outran the Danvers secondary.
Michael Cosolito with the point after kick, that is good to the uprights to our left. And it is 17-7, a 10-point lead now for Melrose High School as they are up on Danvers here in the third quarter with 5 minutes, 22 seconds to play in the third quarter.
Well, big play offense here, what they've been tonight.
Yeah, right. The big play is really, you know, of course, Danvers giving up the big play has been tough. Put them in a, well, we'll see what happens here. I mean, Danvers is what it is. I mean, I don't think they're going to go to the passing game. They just have to continue to try and run the ball and maybe make a couple of big plays themselves.
Cosolito to kick off for Melrose to Danvers, right to left here. Third quarter, 17-7 now. Melrose leading. Again, they were down 7-3 in the first half of this game. This is a kind of a chip shot. They go to a blank part of the field, sort of. The ball lands and dies at the 21, picked up there by the Falcons, Coakley, and he's ripped down and loses some yards. Oh, he took a beating as he was ripped down by several defenders and just thrown to the turf. Forward progress. They dragged him back about 10 yards.
You know, Paul, we both noted at the end of the first half, Melrose charged off the field, and Danvers walked off to their locker room. there was such a change in the dynamics of the energy from the first quarter to the halftime, and now Merrill's has just come out with a decided edge in emotion.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. I noticed the same thing, and somehow you got to reach down deep and you got to bring it back, and you know you got to make a big play. You know, someone's got to make a play for him and get him back in the ballgame here.
From the 19, first down, Danvers, with the couple of wideouts to the near side right. It's the fake handoff and a run play straight ahead out to the 24-yard line. That is Borders, the quarterback, keeping the football. Dean Borders has rushed for 245 yards and three touchdowns this year. He's passed for three touchdowns as well and passed for about 400 yards so far this year for Danvers High School.
Does Danvers have to open it up at this point, Coach? I know there's 4:53 left in the third quarter. You're down 10 points, but you're suddenly not getting any traction with the running game.
Well, just from watching them, passing is not their thing. I mean, I don't know if they could go down the field throwing the ball.
Borders takes a direct snap, fakes the handoff, keeps it, and is ripped down. Might have gained a yard, but he was taken down. Faked it to the end coming from left to right.
They're not even getting the 4 to 5 yard pickup.
No.
No.
Well,
is Merrill doing something different?
Well, they probably are. They probably made some adjustment on defense, I would assume, especially that power formation. But the power formation just... It's slow going down the field. I mean, it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That's about it.
Is what?
Andreas in there now?
Wideouts, two to the right side, one to the left side. Borders throws to the left side. It's incomplete.
Yeah.
Intended receiver over there was Mike Nestor.
Yeah.
So the ball is to the... 25-yard line. If Andreas got hurt, I mean, re-injured himself, they've struggled with some injuries this year, that's for sure, in some big games. The one in Marblehead, Lynch carried him on their back, on his back. So Danvers will now punt. Turner back to punt. Right foot goes into the ball. Good strong kick. Hits and rolls for Danvers inside the 35, down to the 30. Still going to about the 28. No return. Melrose will have the football at their own, about the 28-yard line.
So Andreas can't be right because he's still on the sideline where he's been the whole third quarter.
Yeah, because he's an important part of that defense, too.
Now,
so
could you almost, if he's not totally hobbled, do you use him almost as a decoy, though? I mean,
I don't think you can. I mean, the way their offense works, it's...
You're either in it or you're out.
Yeah.
So here comes Melrose with Brinciaro going split end out far side right. Also out there, Burton as a wide out. They have three to the right side. The quarterback, Nyland, out of the shotgun, hands off to Tyler off the right side and up the middle to the 30-33, about a five-yard gain for Jay Tyler, the senior running back, 6 foot, 210 pounds.
Sam Vitale taking him on. No slouch himself at 5'8", 205, so the... That was mountain versus mountain on that particular play.
Now two wideouts near side left. One of them, Sinsulo. The quarterback, Nyland, takes a direct snap. And the give is to Pedrini, who came in motion from left to right, comes and turns the right end, gets the first down out to the 40. Tackled there. I think it was Vitale again with the hit there.
Yes, it was. Suddenly, Melro is doing a much better job of gashing. Danvers, maybe just the rollouts and using the option, Paul, has definitely opened up some spaces for them to get some real positive plays, because when they were testing the middle of the defense early in the first quarter, they weren't getting anywhere.
Well, Danvers looks tired to me. You just you just can tell by the way they're holding their heads, and a lot of times once they start putting their hands on their hips, it's a sign they're winded, and like I say, the adrenaline will start to flow if they just make a play. You need someone to make a play, and they have some people that can do that, either a sack or an interception or get a run, but they need something a little more life here.
Well, they definitely, as you said, they have the big play capable individuals on that team, as we've seen throughout the season, especially in this playoff run. of making both plays on both the, on both sides of the football, and it's just seizing the opportunity that you see in front of you, and not being afraid, as we've seen many times, James, to take the risk.
Well, you have to think Melrose, leading by the 10 points now, 17-7, is not going to be risky on offense at this point.
You would think so.
You would think, but we'll see. First down.
But they didn't score over 300 points by sitting back either.
No.
You know, and they know Damas can come back and score points.
This is Tyler taking the handoff for maybe 2 or 3 yards out near the 44-yard line, so pretty safe play into the middle of the line. Keeps the clock rolling here in the third quarter. Other games coming up tomorrow. The Linfield volleyball team is going for a state title in Division III as they take on Frontier at Fitchburg High School at noon tomorrow. We mentioned the St. Mary's boys soccer team for a state title against Monson at 3 o'clock tomorrow at Millis High School. And the Masconomet boys soccer team shooting for a title at 11 o'clock right here at Manning Field tomorrow morning against Oliver Ames. Run play for Melrose out to midfield, short of the first down, setting up a third down and about 2 for Melrose. Where Nyland, the quarterback, I'm sorry, on the keeper.
Their tackling isn't as crisp as it was at the beginning either.
And Melrose definitely has a hop in the step, Paul, as you mentioned. You can just see they're fired up.
Nyland with the direct snap, options it out on the right side. This is Petrini. Is
oh,
hit
great
and
stop.
Does not get back to the line of scrimmage even. Was that?
That was Taj Coakley. He came up from the secondary, and it was just a flying takeout.
Great play by him. Wow. They needed that.
Well, Coakley and Holland are two sophomores on this defense for Danvers High School, and that was a big hit. It prevents a first down, and now it's fourth down and 3, and Melrose will punt. Punter standing at his 37 to receive the long snap, boots it away from the 41, does so, drives the receiver all the way back to the 10-yard line. That's Lynch, winds it up, comes back out to the 15, starts right, starts back left, and he's maybe to the 15, just about the 15-yard line. Lynch on the return.
Well, let's see if Porter stays in at quarterback.
He is out there.
Yeah.
But he, we'll see if he begins at quarterback or not.
Andreas is on the sideline, and he doesn't seem to be with the coaches either, so I think he's out for the rest of the
year. I'm looking at him now, Paul. he's not walking, but he doesn't look like something's off. Maybe it's the ankle again.
I think so.
Yep. Two wideouts each way for quarterback Dean Borders of Danvers High School. Halfback set to his left side. And flags drop. Looks like we have a procedure call here against Danvers. Yeah, things are just going wrong here now for the Falcons. Or not going well. Let's just put it that way. Not that it's horrible, but they need to put points on the board. They've got 7, and they're looking at trying to chase up to 17. Borders coming back in from the sidelines. Mike Nestor as well, a wide out. Division III state MIAA game here tonight on MSONewsSports.com. But what a great season for Danvers. It's not over yet, but they've put together an incredible playoff run here. Quarterback Borders looking for the direct snap, takes it. Hands off to Coakley, sweeps the left side. He is wrapped up, now spins back to the right side. He's inside the 5. He's in the end zone. He's scrambling, and he's going to be taken down at the 1-yard line. Oh, my. So Coakley really in a lot of trouble, and clearly there must be a little mode of frustration here for the Falcons right now. Looking for the big play and obviously not coming up with it.
That's one of those situations where you're trying to make a play and you try too hard.
Kind of double down on a bad decision.
Yeah.
So he is he's taken down all the way back to the 1-yard line. He needs to get out to the 25 for a first down.
Going to run out of time in the quarter here.
Third quarter coming to a close here, coming close to a close here. That's his third down and long here for Danvers. Out of the shotgun, this is Lynch. out of the Wildcat, runs off to the left side. He's only to the three.
That's the end of the quarter.
All right. We'll take a break. 17-7. Melrose is leading Danvers through three quarters here on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Back at Manning Field and Lynn, Bill Newell, Paul Ingram, Tim Kearns, and Rick Moore from right to left on your screen here. And we're just about ready to start the fourth quarter, and Danvers will have a third down here from the one-yard line. And they run it, Lynch to the right side. He's out to the 10 to the 15 and out of bounds at around the 17, short of the first down. And now there's a flag.
They gave him a little extra.
This could be a late hit or...
I think they just...
A little unnecessary roughness?
Yeah, continued the hit way beyond the boundary, and that's going to give Danvers a first down.
Yeah.
I think...
That'll be the break that Danvers needed, some kind of a break, something positive to happen for them, and the personal foul or late hit, against Melrose. He was about 3 or 4 yards short of the first down, but with the penalty, the ball will go out beyond the 30-yard line easily for the first down as it's placed down at the 36. Just underway, fourth quarter here, 17-7, Melrose leading Danvers. Is that the spark that Danvers needs? We'll see. They shift and go to the power to the left side here. Lynch is in the backfield and it takes the direct snap. Running back turns the left side to the 40, 45, taken down at the 48-yard line by Stephen Abbott. But it's a first down run for Danny Lynch.
Well, you suddenly saw, and he's just taking the beating out there. He's gathering himself.
Yeah, this is...
Because they're gang tackling him when they do get a hold of him.
It takes its toll, let's just say. And he's not a huge kid. He's 5'11", 165.
Yeah.
Well, that situation where Danvers was forced back to their own one-yard line, they survive. They climb above water here. They're out to their own 48 now, and they've got a first down here. One wide out to the far side right, and Sam Vitale takes the direct snap here. This time he's to midfield with a gain of 2 yards.
When when Danvers goes to that power formation, Melrose I'm not sure it's a defensive end, but what they're doing is they're sending him right upfield to make sure it turns right inside. He can't bounce it out. They're probably slanting or something to it also, so they've done a pretty good job this half of stopping that power.
So Vitale is coming in to run that Wildcat, and just looking for Lynch now. And Vitale takes a direct snap, standing at his 46, goes straight ahead and is stood up. Just got back to, he breaks free, but he's still finally going to be taken down. Forward progress gives him the line of scrimmage, so there's no loss on the play for Vitale.
The hole was filled, and he tried to bounce it back to the left, and there was no blocking over there at all.
So Danvers has had greater success with this power run when they just shoot Lynch outside rather than trying to get up the middle. So should they continue to do that until Melrose shows that they can stop it, which is what you used to do. You'd beat somebody to the death until they showed they could stop it, and then you simply went in another direction, and then try to use that instead of going up the middle.
Here's Lynch going outside to the right side as he's back in the game, and he gets it down to the 45-yard line. So that's a game of about five, so it'll set up a fourth down and three from the 45 of
Melrose. Now's the question, do you go for it?
I think now you kind of have to. Yeah, I think you have to. Yeah, it's a fourth down, and this is even shorter than the one before. This is more like a fourth and two right here. Twenty-ninth carry for Lynch. Wow. So Lynch gets six. Nestor goes wide out left side, but I got to think they're running here with fourth down and two from the 44 of Melrose. Lynch turns to left side. He's being strung out and taken down. Pedrini coming up to make the hit. Big, big play by Mike Pedrini of Melrose High School, wrapping up Lynch. And that is a change of possession on fourth down, and Melrose will take it at their 49.
Well, you kind of knew that's what they were going to run, and I mean, once they lined up in that formation, you're pretty sure that he was getting the ball and he was going to run to the power.
Well, Melrose shoots right back out here with three wideouts, far side left, one near side right. Quarterback Julian Nyland, the senior, takes a direct snap, hands off to Tyler. And he just gets back to the line of scrimmage, maybe picks up 1 yard. Tyler, Jay Tyler, the 210-pound senior running back. A 1 yard gain, 7:45 to play in the game. One wideout, Sensulo to the near side right. Now he's joined by Pedrini, and one far side left. The wide open part of the field, ball hash mark right side. Melrose working left to right. Fake handoff. Quarterback keeper hits off the right side. Turns and down to the 40. Dances to the 35. Back weaving his way down to the 30 to the 28. A first down run.
Number 71, Dan Ouellette for Melrose, was just running interference ahead of the quarterback, an island down there. And he just stood in the way of somebody every couple of feet, and the quarterback kept shifting left and right behind him, waiting for some kind of hole to open.
Paul, that looked like one of those running drills you would run, not a real running play that you would run in a game the way Nyland was going back left and right.
I think he just didn't want to go out of bounds, you know, to stop the clock, which is pretty savvy. I believe he saw he could run out of bounds, but he headed back towards the middle of the field.
He is to the 28 of Danvers, where it's a first down. Tyler takes the handoff.
Boy.
Big hole off the left side of the line. He dives ahead for 7 or 8 yards down near the 21. I think they spot it at the 22. 6.5 minutes to play.
Boy, he hit that hole quick, didn't he?
He did. He was kind of like shot out of that backfield because he kind of lost his balance. He was going so fast. Ball at the 22, so it'll be second down and four, so about a 6 yard gain for him on first down. Sensulo wide out right side along with Pedrini. Tyler in the backfield takes a handoff, busts ahead, kind of the similar play. He's to the 15, it's a first down.
Yeah, and he had six if he didn't slip on the turf. Again, Paul, he hit that like shut out of a cannon.
Right.
And he took it at an angle towards the line, and then he saw the hole, and he just, on a dime, just turned his body and went straight up the field.
17-7, Melrose leading over Danvers here, fourth quarter. Tim Morris, their head coach.
Well, when you get your shoulders square and you're 210 pounds, you know, you're going to fall forward.
Melrose with a first down at the 15-yard line of Danvers.
Oh, he moved, and the tackle moved.
Nyland in the shotgun, but we have movement. For Melrose, a 5-yard penalty will be marked off against them. First down and 15 from the 20 in Danvers territory. 5.5 minutes to play. Yeah, good playoff crowd here tonight at Manning Field for MIAA site selection. We give them an A-plus on this one here tonight. Great location for these two towns to meet kind of midway. not quite midway. I mean, you have to go off Route 1 a little bit, but not a bad trip for either team here on a Friday night. Turned out to be a very nice night, and Melrose calls a time out. Again, other games coming up in the tournament. This Middlesex League has three teams in the tournament. Reading will take on Marshfield tomorrow in Lowell in D2, and Stoneham in Division 4 will take on Holliston, that game at Brockton, tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, this Melrose team playing here against Danvers in Division 3.
I'm from Falmouth, and I spoke to the Falmouth coach. He said Marshfield's the best team he thinks in the state.
In the state?
Yeah, he says they're really good.
Quarterback runs to the right side. He's back to the 20. That's it, kind of wrapped up there.
Big play, 89, Kieran Moriarty, Jr., 6'3", 205, showed his speed on that play as he chased the runner down and wrapped him up and wouldn't let him go and threw him to the ground. Big, big stop there for Danvers.
What do you know about Mashpee, Paul? They're taking on Essex Tech tomorrow. Do you know anything about Mash? Got any insight on Mashpee?
I think I said this before. They have four Division I players that have already gotten offers, so we know they'll be strong in four positions.
Maybe they... Well, here is the give is to Pedrini. Sweeps the left side. Dances ahead for 5-7, maybe about 9 yards. Let's see where they finally, this thing ends up. I think they're going to mark him down at about the 11. So he still needs to get down to the 5 for a first down. So Pedrini, so this will set up a third down and 7. And now Danvers calls for a time with 4:10 to play in this game. We're brought to you in part tonight by Harrington Trophy, located in Lynn, not far from here on Chestnut Street. You can catch them at their website, harringtontrophy.com. Also by Moore GMC of Danvers, Moynihan Lumber, Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go, and the Sylvan Street Grill. Just some of our sponsors here. We also like to salute our Lynn sponsors who joined us for the 2015 season, the Item of Lynn, the Lynn Auditorium, Porthole Restaurant in Lynn, Columbia Insurance of Lynn, and Lynn Museum. So I'm Bill Newell, along with my two silent partners, Tim Kearns, Paul Ingram, Rick Moore.
We're the shy type, Bill. You know that.
You guys are bashful. I know.
I know Paul is. I've never.
No, he's maybe.
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, it's just, you know, as a coach, you try to come up with something to make a play here, and it's not an easy thing to do.
Merrill's done a very good job of protecting the football tonight.
Right.
When they've been running.
Yeah, and you know they're not going to throw down here.
And they've got a third down here. And this is the quarterback on the keeper. Hits off the left side, turns the corner, goes to the end zone. And he's in. Touchdown from 12 yards out.
Wow.
Julian Nyland.
He's really an impressive runner, too.
He lets the holes open and lets the blockers that are even 4 or 5 yards down the field create the seam before he makes his move.
And he's probably faster than he appears, you know.
Yeah, he's 6 feet 180, so he's a good-sized kid. And, again, he runs with authority. Once he makes up his mind, he just takes off and goes with it. Dan Papagielo is a little slow getting up, coming off the field now, under his own power.
Just the mindset of what goes on now is that, you know, Melrose is saying, you know, Gillette Stadium, here we come. And Danvers is saying, you know, it's a missed opportunity, you know, but I think Melrose is the stronger team.
Consolito's point after kick is up. And it is good. So he's perfect on the night.
Well, since that 79-yard touchdown run that put them ahead 7-3, in essence, this game has been basically all Melrose. As
they started out slow, but the momentum in the second quarter, and it's carried on to the second half, and they just, they look stronger physically and... They got some players that can make some plays and really break it.
And it's a phrase here that they really asserted themselves after that second quarter.
And, you know, they didn't get down on themselves either.
Yeah.
That was another thing, you know, because it didn't look good at the beginning.
And, I mean, they weathered that Danvers rush. They created the turnover and just used it as the springboard to establish this 24-7 lead. But they played with a confidence. They played with the kind of swaggy that you want to see on a team. Sure. They had the one, you know, unsportsmanlike penalty two possessions ago on a play out of bounds, but that was the exception more than the rule tonight.
Here is the kickoff from Melrose to Danvers, 24-7 the score. It's a short kick fielded at the 32-yard line.
Go.
And running it is Holland quickly out to the right, back to the left. He's to the 43. Oh. And that's about it.
Well, he didn't give up. He kept trying to get away. But somebody had a hold of his shirt. Couldn't tell who it was. Somebody had a hold of his shirt and just would not let him go. And he kept spinning around trying to break free. And took about 7 or 8 seconds off the clock trying to break free. I actually thought because he took the ball so far upfield that he might have been able to spring it because there was no real coverage right there, but one Melrose play just got a hold of him, wouldn't let him go, and the posse arrived, and there was a scrum, and down he went at the 43. So with 3:51 left, Davis has got to do a lot.
From the direct snap, this is Borders, and he's sacked at the 35. Three Melrose players charging in, and one of them, Brian Mercer, was there to lay the hit on Borders, and he goes down at the 36.
Yeah, the other was co-captain Jared Patello.
Yeah, Andreas is coming back in. Well, you know, the one thing that, you know, obviously Danvers is a running team, and the passing game, everyone talks about the passer and the receivers, but the line blocking for passing game is a different animal. It needs a lot of work.
And Andreas throws out on the left on the run. It's incomplete. Intended out on the left side for Coakley, Tosh.
Yeah,
Coakley.
Patello got in the way of that pass again. He was right in Andreas's line, and he had to try to throw it over him, and attempt to do that just threw it too far. Again, early on where Melrose was a little bit out of position, they have been in position for the last three quarters, in position to make the play, short tackles.
Andreas takes the direct snap, stands back at the 30, loops a pass off to Lynch, there's a little screen left, he goes down, loses some yards on that. Everyone is there for Melrose, including Tom Calvert, to make the stop, and it's fourth down for Danvers. Fourth down and 19. And back to punt for Danvers is Zach Turner. Turner standing at his 17 to receive the long snap. Remember, one of these rolled to him earlier in tonight's game, about the same position on the field. This was snap is good, and Turner's line drive punt is good, very effective, rolls without a return inside the 30 down to the 28-yard line.
Yeah, I would never let anybody return a punt in this situation. Just let it roll. In fact, sometimes don't put anyone back there to attempt to try and catch the ball.
Because you do have the plays with the mud, as you said. We'll try to do too much, try to make a play where, there's maybe nothing there, or you're going to do more harm than good.
Win the game in the safest possible way.
Howdy, boys. All right, Bill Newell's going downstairs as this game seems to be in the hands safely of Melrose with 2:28 left to go. And Bill's going to go down and grab some sound and sights for you for the website for after this game.
Bill needs a hand putting that jacket on. I can tell. I'm watching his reflection in the window. And
it's cool.
It's not looking good for him. I mean, he's just off.
It's a run play for Melrose starting from their own 28-yard line.
Pedrini.
Yeah. And Pedrini gets it out to the 32, it looks like, or maybe the 33. And Danvers will take a timeout.
Tell the kids to try and steal the ball. I mean, that's basically what you're down to now. And, of course, the offense knows that. And usually two hands on the ball, secure it.
Well, since about late in the second quarter, Melrose just kind of took over, and it looks like they really wore down Danvers.
I think
they wore them down.
I think what Tim and I saw at the end of the first half. You can only run on adrenaline so long.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nylund brings them right back to the 32 after the timeout. It's not Nylund. It is Nylund, number 20. He's in the shotgun with backs left and right. It is a handoff to Pedrini, sweeping to his left. 35, hurdles a tackler, and gets it out to about the 43. First down for Melrose. That should seal it, if there was any doubt. Pedrini gets the first down. On the far sideline, or actually it's on the far hash mark. With Melrose moving from left to right, Danvers will take another timeout, and I think they'll put the ball down at the 33, so it's a 10-yard gain. I check it at the 43. So this one shows, I can't see the clock, here it is, 2:13 left to go, and touchdowns for Melrose. It was Jay Tyler, 79 yards, Julian Nylund, 65 yards, and Nylund again from 11 yards. Those are touchdowns, plus they got a Mike Cusolito 33-yard field goal. The only answering score for Danvers, Danny Lynch on a one-yard touchdown run.
I was just really getting a good look as the teams are directly down in front of a few minutes ago, and Melrose was a much more physical-sized team. They were bigger than Danvers, and obviously they used that physicality to wear Danvers down, especially over the course of the first half, and just really came on with it in the second half.
Oh, it's funny what a harbinger it turned out to be when you guys mentioned how the teams came off the field at the end of the first half. That was interesting.
Well, you could see it. It was really obvious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I think it's a numbers game, too, and I think that, probably kids going both ways on Danvers' side, after a while. I mean, it's you're playing on heart, guts.
Pedrini gains about 5 or 6 on a handoff on the first down as the time winds down to 1:58 and will stop for another timeout.
And you get this far in the season, you really have to have all hands on deck because the competition is a step up.
Yeah,
every week you go further into the playoffs, and certainly not having a full complement to start the game and to play all the way through. Not making excuses for Danvers, but you'd like to have seen, Andreas and Lynch out there as a tandem.
Second and 5 on another run play, gets it out to the 49. I believe that's probably Pedrini again.
I used to tell the kids it's a very unforgiving sport. I mean, you're out there and everything's going great, and then the next thing you know, you're out for the rest of the season.
It'll be third down. I'm sorry, Coach, go ahead.
And it's just, psychologically hard. I mean, I even watch Brady. I think Brady's kind of down because of Edelman. And, he'll pick himself up, obviously, but even though they won the game, losing someone of that caliber, it's. But that's the nature of the game.
Third and 4 for Melrose as the time continues to move here. We've got Ryan Sensulo split to the right side, but they're going to keep it on the ground. And Pedrini carries tacklers with him for the first down to the Danvers 45-yard line.
Talk about the path. They're on such a march, and
35 seconds.
Now it's Amendola's turn to step into that void, and he's played outstanding football the last half of last season. Key in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. 23.3 and running, Rick.
Yeah, it's still moving. I'm not sure that Melrose has to get a playoff. They're going to take their time, and I think that may be it. So congratulations to Tim Morris in his 22nd year. This will be career win number 133, and Melrose will be going to Gillette on December 5. So the run has come to an end for the Danvers Falcons in the tournament. They were game, but they just got a little too much firepower on that other side. The final score in this one is Melrose 24 and Danvers 7. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about this thing from Manning Field in Lynn.
The Lynn Auditorium has has some great shows coming to the North Shore soon. Treat yourself to an evening out in a comfortable premier entertainment venue. Upcoming shows include Melissa Etheridge, Friday, January 15th. The following night, Saturday the 16th, Get the Lead Out, the Led Zeppelin tribute band. Then Chicago arrives Friday, February 5th. Johnny Mathis on his 60th anniversary concert tour comes Friday, April 8th. For more shows, more information, visit LynnAuditorium.com or call 781-599-SHOW or contact Ticketmaster.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Since 1897, the Lynn Museum has celebrated the history of one of America's most consequential cities. Recently merged with Lynn Arts, we are working to build a dynamic cultural hub where our past comes to life and new art is created. Now on display, Present Tense, a Lynn Arts exhibit, open through December 19th, showcasing the contemporary work of our Lynn Arts community. The Lynn Museum is located at 590 Washington Street and open Wednesday and Friday 12 to 4, Thursday 12 to 7, Saturday 10 to 3. Find us online at lynnmuseum.org.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
At one point in this game, Danvers running back Dan Lynch had 100 yards of offense, and Melrose had negative 17. But at the two-minute mark, with 2:05 left to go in the first half, that all changed when Jay Tyler ripped off a 79-yard touchdown drive, a run, rather, to give Melrose a 10-7 lead, and they never looked back after that. So, good evening once again. We're back at Manning Field, where Melrose has beaten Danvers by a score of 24-7, a very valiant Danvers Falcons team, but they just sort of ran out of gas in the second half. Scoring plays went like this. Mike Cusolato, 33-yard field goal for Melrose at the 3:41 mark of the first quarter. At that point, Melrose had minus 14 yards total on that drive. They were four for minus eight on their scoring drive. Danny Lynch scored from 1 yard out from Danvers with 6:19 left to go in the half, giving the Falcons a 7-3 lead at that point, six plays and 43 yards. But then Tyler's run from 79 yards away changed all of that, and it was 10-7 at the half, Melrose on top. And then Melrose put the seal on it in the second half as Julian Nyland ran 65 yards on a keeper on one possession, one play, 5:22 left to go in the third at 17-7. Nyland again late in the game, 4:02 left to go. The capper, 24-7, the final score, is where we landed. And I got to mention that pancake block, and I didn't see who did that, but some guy on the left side, a lineman for Melrose, just wiped out the right side of the Danvers line, keeping it open for Nyland. So statistically, a great night for Danny Lynch, 30 carries, 173 yards, and the touchdown. But it just wasn't enough, as he had 173 of the team's 182 yards. 173 of the team's 182 total. Tyler, over on the other side for Melrose, the leading ground gainer, eight carries for 111 yards, and the Red Raiders had 275 yards of total offense. But that's it, 24-7. It's the end of the playoff line for Danvers. They have one more game to go. They've got to play Gloucester, of course, on Thanksgiving. But just a terrific, well-played game by Melrose, looking like they had no chance in that first quarter, just regrouping and going away with the win.
Paul, how much significance did Melrose kicking that field goal mean to them? Well, when they had the big interception return, they got stymied by the Damage defense, but they still came away with points.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that they probably felt they weren't playing well, you know, and they weren't. I mean, they weren't playing well offensively, and they weren't playing well defensively. But sometimes, you know, these are high school kids, and sometimes the arena that you're playing in, the circumstances, it takes a while to settle down and say, you know, this is a football game, you know, and I think they did that. I just think physically, you know, they really wore Danvers down to, you could just see it even by halftime. So I think that was, you know, as it typically is, you know, if you win in the trenches, you're usually going to win the game, and I think they won in the trenches.
And the big shift was they went to three wide, forced Davis to play a different defense, and gassed him for that 79-yard run, and then just basically stayed with that the rest of the way.
Yeah, and, you know, they had him spread out, and then they ran the option. And, like, they, you know, the option is one part of, aspect of their offense, but, boy, you've got to cover it in practice because it's assignment football. And if you miss your assignment, they're gone. And that's, you saw what happened with Nylon. So, I mean, they throw a lot at you. Melrose throws a lot at you, and, you know, they have an adequate passing game. I just want to also mention that, you know, when the kids were shaking hands, I kind of watched that at the end of the game. And a lot of the starters who were passing a starter from the other team who played against, they stopped and talked to each other. And
I noticed that as well.
Yeah. So that means, you know, they got a lot of respect for each other, which is good. You know, there's no chippiness, it seemed like, at all there. And, you know, you got to say, hey, Melrose was a better team.
I remember number 62 for Melrose especially, sought out number 55 from Danvers. Marco Lagambina from Danvers, number 62. Isaiah Arnold, an offensive lineman. They spent a couple of minutes, even before the line really formed, talking to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really stood out to me right off the bat. And then, as you mentioned, going through the line, you could see these guys, you know, having some words and, you know, great battle of it. You knew that these guys were doing the one-on-one stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, when you're playing in the game, you're intense, but the realization it's over, and give them credit, you know.
Well, I think that's similar at the pros. This is an aside. It doesn't have anything to do with this game, but I remember Butler and his name?
Beckham.
Beckham did that in the Patriots game, and they would talk to each other the whole game. And at the end of the game, they went over and talked to each other, shook hands, and nodded, you know, in the affirmative. So there is something to be said about sportsmanship, and terrific display tonight. And I don't think we can really say enough about what a good season the Danvers Falcons have had so far, even though they came up short in this one.
Well, they certainly made it exciting for the school and the community. I mean, to be in this position is great. I mean, look at the crowd here on both sides, and you could see the Melrose student body across, and I assume the student body was here. So it really livens up the school. I always felt when the athletic teams are doing well at a high school, it just adds the spirit, and the school just seems to run better for everybody, you know, teachers and kids, and they enjoy being there. And, you know, I coached at Danvers for a long time, and you know, we had the Bavaros, we had some good teams then, but we had some real down years. And I know that this is just great to have them even in this environment. It would have been unbelievable if they got to go to Gillette, but it didn't happen.
Well, naturally, I'm disappointed. I love going to Gillette, and we haven't been since you were down there back in 2010.
Well, Kearns talks about the buffet. He never talks about the game.
you just couldn't wait to get that set up, could you?
Well, you know, there are two layers there in the replay room where we are. And we sit down front on the glass, and Tim sits behind us because that's closer to the door and closer to the buffet.
Oh, man, I'm going home. I'm going. I'm not going to sit in.
No, but seriously, guys, let's talk. Let's wrap this up. But a good display by the Northeastern Conference this year. They missed it by this much, but many of the teams played very well. The upper echelon, Gloucester, and the lower echelon in terms of the tournament. And then it just Melrose just a little too much firepower, a little too much strong. But a very, very good year. That's not over yet. We still have Thanksgiving to go. But a good year for the conference.
Oh, we got a lot of teams that have a chance to end up with 7, 8, 9 wins this year. And, you know, that just shows that we had a number of teams playing very, very well, not only within the conference, within the league, but also they took the games outside of the league and they played well in those. So the Northeast Conference put on a great show across the board this year, and all the teams are to be congratulated.
Well, it's Thanksgiving week coming up, and we will be back here on Wednesday night as St. Mary's will be playing Bishop Fenwick in what should be a tremendous game. And I'm not sure who the staff will be, but we'll be here as a broadcast team, MSONewsSports.com. On Thursday, on Thanksgiving morning, you'll be there. Paul Ingram and I will be in Gloucester as Danvers has to go play at Gloucester. And, Tim, you will be with Bill.
I will be here.
You'll be right here at Manning Field, and it'll
be here. I won't be at the Shamus. Well, the Shamus not anymore, unfortunately.
The English classical matchup. Okay, once again, final score is 24-7 Melrose for Coach Tim Morris in his 22nd season at Melrose High School. 133 career victories, 87 losses, and 4 ties. Melrose moves to 11-0. They go on to Gillette. We wish them well in the Super Bowl. Bring it home for the North. And for Coach Sean Terrio, only in his second season, 14 wins already, 8 losses, and the Danvers Falcons now stand at 8-3 with one more game to go. So that'll do it for Bill Newell, who's down in the field gathering all the sound and sights that you see on the website below the on-demand video audio. For Bill Newell, our play-by-play man and big guy, and for Tim Kearns and Paul Ingram and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Happy Thanksgiving if I don't see you before that. Final score from Manning Field, it's 24 for Melrose and 7 for Danvers.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.